time for In and Around the House with Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown. Got a question? Call us 749-B105. Now, let's join Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown for In and Around the House.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And again, if you remember from last week, Ernie, he will be out again this Saturday. And once again, Bob from Barge Nursery, I'll get that out, is with us this morning. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. How are you doing?
So a little chilly.
It is chilly. It is chilly. We were just talking about that a little bit. And you know, I'm sure everybody out there riding in their car right now has probably got their
heat on,
or at least kicked it on just a little bit. So what a difference 1 week can make.
Totally. You know, I think it was last week we were just touching 80, and boy, 20-degree difference at least.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of happy to see it. The leaves started turning. It started getting pretty. It started to feel like fall. You know, we mentioned grass seed last week, and this is exactly why we said you're taking your chance.
I hear you.
We knew it was going to get cold. You know, it's going to be back up into the 60s later on this week. But, you know, you're always taking a chance. So, you know, here is a perfect example of what we were talking about.
All right. You're right on. And it's funny you say that because, you know, there were some areas down in my backyard. Backyard's wooded, you know, and I have a lot of shade and various things going on. So knowing the seed issue was kind of like pushing the envelope, reseeding the lawn, there were some areas I thought, you know, I want to repair them.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it upon myself last Monday. I went over to see our good friends at Turpin Farms.
Oh, yeah, great.
I bought some sod.
Yeah, laid it out. It was instant. It was done, and everything looks great.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's like, whoa, right there, instant effect. So if you're still trying to fix some of those troubled spots, or if it's, you know, dependent upon the size of it, definitely give our good friends a call over at Turpin Farms. The sod is beautiful, as a matter of fact. They cut it right there, and it's, as soon as you order it, it's coming off the...
It's fresh, it's beautiful, and if you need to make an impact or you need to do something with the yard, now's the time. Because at this point, if you're going to throw grass seed down, I don't know about you, but I would wait and throw it down in the winter and do some winter seeding because it's getting late, and I don't think it's going to be warm enough looking at the forecast to see anything grow. If you had something down, you know, week and a half ago, you still probably got a shot. You'll probably get a lot of it up. But if not, you need to get out and get some sod if you need a yard.
That's what I think. That's what I did. So just like you said, your grandfather told you the 15th of October is kind of like, that's the cutoff point.
And it was almost dead on this year. I mean, it's funny. Some years you'll get really cold weather, and it's more like the first. And then we talked about, you know, and before, sometimes it can be as late as the 26th of October. I've sown it when we talked about the Indian summer and being warm and through the fall. And, you know, it was great last week, but what a difference.
Oh, it's always a difference. Just hang out in the Cincinnati area and you'll find that the weather will change eventually because you can just go from one extreme to the other. As a matter of fact, did you get pounded the other night from those storms?
Because
you're a little south of us.
I am a little bit south. My house didn't get too much, but Simon Kenton and just right around that
place,
there was quite a bit of damage just a little bit south of even Simon Kenton High School. And a customer of mine, she had a number of pine trees blow over.
Really?
And,
wow.
I believe the number, and don't quote me 100%, but I believe the number was close to 30 big pine trees. A couple of them maybe weren't the healthiest, but we're not talking about little pine trees. We're talking about
large pine
trees that have been around and established for a while. But, you know, we had all the rain, which made the ground kind of soft, and then high winds, and that's a recipe for disaster when it comes to big trees sometimes. So, you know, if all of a sudden they don't feel like they're grabbing under their roots real strong,
right,
blow over.
You know, I was watching the weather radar, and you could hear the tornado warning sirens going off, and I thought, you know, this is interesting. Then all of a sudden, you know, it was a massive downpour, a little windy and gusty, but not quite what they were getting just where you were, a little bit south.
Yeah, they said it was really bad along Walton Nicholson Road and some other areas in central Kenton County. And, you know, but that was a ton of, I mean, we had a bunch of rain again.
We talked
about just how bad the weather been and how odd things have been and how dry it was. Well, we got some rain, which was great.
But
we
not all at once.
We didn't need four inches at once.
No,
man,
not
it was
at
crazy.
Once. And, you know, that's so important, too. Going into the fall season, you and I have talked about this before in the past. you know, some of our evergreens, you know, the conifers and so forth, you know, it's so important for those guys to get a nice, thorough, you know, deep drink or watering before we go into the winter months, because, you know, they always say they're at risk. You know, when it turns cold and all those winter winds, they just dry them out. And that moisture level, having that in abundance as we go into the winter months is so important.
Yeah, I think so. And I think just because we got one rain and we're cooling down, a lot of people are going to think, I don't have to do anything. And that really isn't the answer. Right. If we get some more rain, that would be great. If it would kind of be slow and steady instead of the heavy downpours that are washing. Because, you know, I was driving through some different areas of the city and you could see the water was running in places it normally doesn't run. You could see some of the creeks had debris along, you know, bunched up against the bottom of a tree where mm-hmm. water had flooded. Yeah. And it was in areas where there shouldn't have been water. So a lot of that rain probably washed off. So we had a good rain. I'm sure it's wet out there. Some areas would be very, you'd be very shocked if you went kind of under a canopy, how dry it could be underneath some of those evergreens mm-hmm. still. So if you have especially some evergreens, but all trees, I mean, I think that's why some of the fall color is kind of yellow brown. It's just not as pretty right now.
No, right now it's not. You're seeing some trees, you know, some trees were starting to drop weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, because of stress.
Yeah. Then we get the high winds and, you know, it's still amazing to me to see all the dead ash trees out there. I mean, you really noticed it some this summer driving along 275 and some of the other highway areas. And you just definitely know, I mean, the fall color is just not as pretty. Not that the ash were the most beautiful tree, but, you know, it's still amazing how much that has impacted the fall landscape.
It really has, and it's really hard to comprehend, as a matter of fact. As you look up through the hillsides throughout the tri-state area, and you just see all those, it's just canopy after canopy that's just barren.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing there. And it's like, wow, how's Mother Nature going to rebound?
Right. And somehow she will. And, yep. You know, I think, you know, we got the tree initiative to plant, you know, so many trees by, you know.
It's a taking root initiative.
Thank you. I was drawing a blank, you know. So I think that's all important. And now's a great time to go plant a tree.
It is.
You may not be able to see exactly what it looks like as far as in full leaf, but, you know, some people can't visualize. But you want to look at branch structure a lot of times when you're buying a tree anyway. So this weekend's going to be a great time to get to the garden center. And if you needed a tree, you just got a blessing with all the moisture and the cooler temperatures. Now's a great time to plant.
I agree with you. And getting out to the local garden centers and nurseries right now, you're going to get the visualization of what some of these trees are going to look like, you know, as they start to turn some color. Now, just as you stated, some have already started to drop and so forth, but still, it's the best time of the year to plant. And believe it or not, although you don't see a lot of activity up top, there's going to be so much activity going on under the soil surface with root development and so forth. And it's a lot less stress on a tree, on a shrub. As you plant through the fall season, you have to be busy right now at Bard's Nursery. You guys covered up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the landscaping is crazy, and it's a great thing, but it's such a great time to plant. I mean, it is such a great time to plant. If you are looking to do anything possibly next spring, you know, and I know everybody's on a budget and doing some different things, but mm-hmm. if it's in your budget to go ahead and get some things done now, you know, I think you just stated a great statement you just brought up as far as planting now and what goes on the roots. Plant a tree now. It's going to start to establish a little bit already. So when we get into the drought next year in the summer, and there'll be a little bit of a dry spell. We always have it. We're in Cincinnati where we go from rain to cold to snow to drought. You know, we're going to have it, but you're already going to have a tree that's slightly established. Plus, if you buy, let's just say, an 8-foot-tall tree this year, well, it's already going to start growing next spring. You buy an 8-foot-tall tree in the spring, it's going to be an 8-foot-tall tree. So planting in the fall has a lot of advantages. And if you're really kind of a no-maintenance person, you definitely need to be planting right now.
I agree with you. And it's a perfect time to do it. Amongst other things, you know, I also want to remind our audience that if you've yet to fertilize your lawn, too, the fall is the best time to get into the Fertilume 3-Step program. We talk about that all the time. Also, last week, we touched a little bit on aeration. You know, the month of October is a great time to aerate your lawn, even going into the early part of November. If you've yet to ever do that, and, you know, that's a huge benefit to the lawn. There's just so many things that when we get into the fall season and come into play, you know, it's the lawn, it's planting, it's tidying up the garden. You know, that's so important as well. And, you know, when we talk about that, you know, a lot of people have had some issues. And I don't know about you at your garden center at Bard's. Do you have a lot of people that have been coming in recently and even in the latter part of summer bringing in foliage from some of their shrubs and trees and saying, hey, this is not the normal, what I'm accustomed to seeing, what's going on with our shrubs, what's going on with our trees. That stuff that falls to the ground, this is what we're talking about when we talk about tidying up the garden and even the lawn, is getting all that debris up and discarding it, because those pathogens, they harbor themselves throughout the winter months, and you're more than likely to see the same thing next year, given, which we always see it, the weather situation and conditions we've been experiencing this year.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just talk about the crab apples for just a second. It just seems like the last 4 or 5 years in a row, they start out, the leaves look great. You know, we'll have a few little bug issues early in the spring. You know, some beautiful flowers. The foliage looks great for about a week or two. And then all of a sudden we start going downhill and we have apple scab, apple rust. We have a lot of different things. So, yeah, anything you can do to tidy up, get those leaves off the ground. You know, now's a great time. We talked about last week about the aeration, going ahead because we had to wait for some moisture. Well, now you've got it. Now's a great time to do it. You know, and I think it's really important. We talk about our cars having some preventative maintenance, our bodies having some preventative maintenance. Our plants need some preventative maintenance. And sometimes it's just mechanical trimming or a little fertilization. We're not talking about chemicals here. We're talking about just a little bit of maintenance, trimming, you know, cleaning up the debris around the plants. I think it's really important. And it's going to be a great time to go ahead and start doing that.
I'm with you. Hang on to those thoughts, because we have a lot more to add as we progress throughout the morning hours here. And also hang out with us, because around the 8 o'clock hour, we have a special guest, Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Cabinetry and Design will be joining us. And if you have any kitchen projects going on, you're definitely going to want to hang in there with us at that time. And we're going to talk more about trees and what we need to think about this fall when we come back. Give us a call at 749-B105. If you're just getting up and joining us, welcome this morning. We have Bob Bard from Bard's Nurseries filling in again for in Ernie's absence. And next week, Ernie will be back in full swing. And if you want to catch a past show with us, definitely go out there to our website and check out, pull up on the old podcast. And if you want to send us a message, you can do that too at in and around the house at b105.com. Another way to stay connected with us as well is on our Facebook page. So feel free to do that and send us messages or questions. We always will get back with you at some point in time. And it's always great to hear from people. And when you send us photos too, we always like that as well. And we're talking this a little bit this morning about fall planting and some of the fall trees and different things that give us beautiful color this time of year. And as we're talking about some of the trees and so forth, Bob, it is a wonderful time to plant, no doubt about it. And I wish more people would get on the bandwagon and plant a tree, plant a shrub. And if, in fact, you plant a tree, go to takingroot.org and register that tree, because that's a great initiative that is going on here in a tri-state area where we're trying to plant 2 million trees by the year 2020. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the loss that we've all experienced with the ash trees. So what's important is that we replenish the loss with newly planted trees. And please take time to go on the website that, it, again, is takingroot.org and register the tree that you're getting ready to plant.
Yeah, I think it's real important that we really take care of our environment. You know, I mean, with us being in the business we are, you know, our environment is not only something that we look at every day, but it's very important to us, you know, and how much, you know, areas maybe people don't think about that it benefits us, like trees absorbing moisture, you know. So if you have a wetter area in the lawn, things like that, there's a lot of things that, you know, the trees do that we always just take for granted that the trees are there. So, you know, we've had a devastating loss with the ash trees. So getting some new trees and planting variety, I think, is super important. So especially, we were just talking about before the break, fall is such a great time to plant. And it sounds like we're saying the same thing over and over, because we really are, because we've been for years trying to educate how important it is. You know, you don't have to water as much this time of year. You don't have to do as much for the trees. And there's a lot less stress on the tree.
Definitely.
So I think that's important.
You know, what are some of the trends that you see homeowners when you're doing some of your landscape designs, some of the, you know, it seems as if a lot of people have scaled back, you know, and chime in here anytime.
Yeah.
You know, so they have limited spaces. And, you know, when it comes to limited spaces, what are some of the smaller trees that you kind of favor or you like to incorporate into a design that don't get overly big, take over the space that we're trying to fill, and just create that nice ambiance in the landscape.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's funny you mentioned that. It is a key. There's a lot of people starting to talk about smaller trees. You know, there hasn't been as much new construction around us in the last maybe 5-6 years, I think, mm-hmm. in general. I mean, there's a couple areas that are still booming around the city, but overall, most areas, so a lot of the trees have already been established, so people aren't looking for as many big trees maybe right now in some of the areas that are more established. So the question is, let's talk about some small trees. You know, the dwarf lilac tree, the hydrangea tree, a nine bark tree, you know, a lot of pretty things. I still think one of the more popular ones is still a Japanese maple. A lot of people love to plant the red Japanese maples. Now, I know the crab apples had trouble. We just talked about it before the break.
But mm-hmm.
I still love the little lollipop crabs, that white flower.
You know, that's one
gorgeous.
You don't hear often talked about anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a lollipop. You're absolutely right. That's a nice performer. It looks great in the landscape. Doesn't take up a lot of room.
Yep.
You know, you're talking about some of those trees. That when you say the lilac tree, let's put some clarification on this. The lilac tree, the hydrangea tree,
mm-hmm.
and... oh, what was the other one you said?
The nine bark.
Nine bark, thank you. Those are grafted.
Yes.
And I want to put some emphasis on that as well. And, when you buy those type of trees for the landscape, they stay relatively small. They're easy to maintain. They look beautiful in the landscape. But the difference between those and some of the other trees are they're really shrubs that are grafted on top of another rootstock.
Correct. And that's what makes it interesting. So to just give a description for people to understand, basically they look like little lollipops. They have about a 3 or 4 foot trunk, and then they have the bush basically on top of that. So, you know, but they can really add some interest. And depending on when you want the flower, that's the other advantage of some of these smaller ornamental trees. You know, you get the hydrangea tree, you're going to get a summer bloomer. You do the lilac tree, you're going to get a spring bloomer.
Right.
You do the nine bark, you're going to get a really interesting fall copper color. So there's a lot of interesting things that you can do with some of these smaller trees.
Yeah, and with that physocarpus, the nine bark that you're talking about, you also get the element of that beautiful looking bark as it starts to exfoliate during the fall season as well.
Absolutely.
So that's a nice, another added feature that really makes that pop.
Yeah.
You know, another small tree that I like a lot in the landscape, and... You got to look for one that's got nice structure. It's the Sweet Bay Magnolia.
Yeah, I do.
I still like the Sweet Bay Magnolia. It can somewhat hold its foliage, stay semi-evergreen if the winter's not too severe. But more times than not, it does lose all of its foliage. But the bloom that it gives you in the spring months is fragrant.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it flowers usually more towards May.
Yeah.
So you're outside. It's warming up. You can really enjoy the fragrance. It's not a tree that's going to give you 1,000 blooms, but you'll get a small amount. But in that small amount of blooms, you'll get an incredible fragrance. But what I love about that tree, we've talked about this tree once or twice on the show before, but we've never talked about trimming. So I've seen people trim it where they actually shear it, and then it becomes a tight, round ball, bunch of little leaves, very dense, thick, you can't see through it. I don't think necessarily that's the prettiest tree or the natural shape of that tree. So it'll also have multiple stems.
Right.
It will get some size, so if you have room to let it get big, make sure if you plant it closer to a house or a patio, give it a little extra space so it can naturally grow to the size that it's supposed to. And then you can thin it out a little bit because it's really an airy, open tree when
Absolutely.
It's growing naturally, but it's beautiful. And then you could have some things underneath it, and there's still a little bit of light coming through to where it's not just a shade plant. You can do a partial shade plant and get a lot of extra color. So the Sweet Bay Magnolia, I have one at my house. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, hold on to that thought, because we have a lot to add to this morning. We're talking about some small trees in the landscape. And if you have any questions for Bob or myself, feel free to give us a call here at 749-B105, and we'll be right back. And if you're just getting up and joining us, welcome. Bob Bards and filling in for Ernie this morning from Bard's Nursery, and last week we had a wonderful show, and this week we promised to even continue that and talk more about some small plants in the landscape, small trees in the landscape. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call here, 749-B105. And I'm telling you, Bob, what a difference. We were talking about this before we start the show. Last week we were pushing, just ready to touch the 80-degree mark, and today upper 50s, a huge swing in temperature.
Yeah, I think Wednesday we hit 85 because I just couldn't believe I was still in shorts and it was in the middle of October and it was all right. I wasn't complaining, but we're talking about a 45 different degree change and drop in temperature. But that's Cincinnati. I mean, we'll be in January where it'll be 10 degrees and then the next thing you know it's 50. So right. But that's actually what I love about Cincinnati. I love the change of seasons.
I agree with you there, right?
And some people are like, how do you love that? But you know what? Sometimes that nice surprise in January when it goes to 50, I'm okay with that. Maybe get out and play a quick round if it's not too wet. So
I'm with you there. But we were talking about small trees in the landscape, and we were talking about the sweet bay magnolia. And I agree with you. It's don't just go and hatchet that thing or any type of small tree or any type of shrub. Prune with a purpose and keeping it open down low.
Right.
Because I'm going to lead into another tree that I like a lot, and you're going to treat it the same way. But leaving them open down low and getting that nice canopy airy look just creates that wonderful look in the landscape. And then we were talking one time about lighting.
Yes.
And that's when you have that up lighting that gives you that, it highlights that tree's characteristics, and you can position the lighting behind it or in front of it and get that shadowing effect, however you want to do it. It's really a beautiful look in the landscape. Especially, the landscape is not only to be admired during the day, but also at night. Well, I think it looks even better at night a lot of times.
And you always notice the house that's lit up well. Always notice it at night. I mean, driving throughout the whole tri-state, and it seems like I'm all over the city anymore. Even at night, it's very interesting to look and see who's done some lighting, how it's been done. And you can usually tell the ones who've done it professionally and the ones who haven't. But if you really want to enjoy your landscaping, it's not just about the day, and it's not just about the flowers, and it's not just about what tree you have. But even in the middle of winter when it is snowing, how pretty is an evergreen tree with snow sitting on it all lit up at night? I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It is. It just creates all those seasonal interests.
I love to see the house lit up. I just think it's great. But I did want to go back and touch on one thing. We were talking about the trimming, and we'll get to your tree here. But, you always trim with a purpose.
Right.
You always do. Now, occasionally there is I touched on the sweet bay magnolia. If you have a place where you need a certain size tree, sometimes you can take a tree that's meant to get a little larger and keep it trimmed.
Keep it smaller.
But you have to realize it's going to look a little bit different, or you really have to do it. So, for example, let's say you had a Japanese maple. If you shear a Japanese maple, all your leaves are going to be a lot thick on that and full on the outside, but the inside will really be thin. So occasionally, even if you want to try to keep that small, go in there and hand prune. And I think that's where you're talking about the hatchet job.
Get inside
and thin it out. Allow some of the light to get to the center so you still have some inner branches in there. You can still keep it small, but it doesn't have to be just butchered.
Oh, I'm with you. The 3 D's, the pruning too, is an interesting concept. And that is when you prune whenever something occurs. When the 3 D's are anything that's damaged, diseased, or dead.
There you go.
Definitely prune that out.
Yeah. I always say if it's brown, cut it down. So if it's dead, there's no reason to keep it, especially on a shrub. There's some dieback on some shrubs.
Right.
It's not, if it's dead, it's not coming back. Thin it out and remove it.
It's funny you say that because there was somebody had sent us a photograph on Facebook of her sweet bay the other day.
Okay.
And it's multi-stemmed, 3 main, leaders coming up, and one of them's totally dead.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's really strange. And we were discussing that. We were going back and forth. What has changed? Has there been any construction around the home? A new deck? Have you been digging underneath that tree? What? Or is there a lot of water? Is it sitting in water? And when those things kind of happen, I hate to say this because I'm always one to try and keep something alive and going.
Right.
It may be one of those indicators. It's got to come out. Let's go in it with something different.
Well, or at least take the branch off.
Take it off and see what it looks like.
And see what's in there. Occasionally things do die or a branch dies. And if you just remove it, the tree's fine. Sometimes weird things can just happen. It doesn't always make sense. And unless you send it off and maybe get it tested by one of the extension's office down at the university. And then you're gonna get a list of everything that's on that tree. But, occasionally just thin it out and let it grow.
See what happens.
There's been a flowering cherry for a customer of mine that had the multi-stem red leaf cherry. We lost a whole branch of it, We took one off. Well, that was 5 years ago. The rest of the tree still looks absolutely good. Gorgeous.
There you go. Perfect example. That's for sure. You know, another small tree that I like, thin it out inside, limb it up, give it that nice canopy look, is a service berry.
Oh, I know. That's always one of our favorites.
Yeah, I talk about it too much probably, but still, it's one of those trees that gives you seasonal interest. You like the seasons, and as they change here in the area, that is one that gives it to you.
Yeah, the service berry is a gorgeous, gorgeous tree. Beautiful bloom in the spring, nice berry and copper color in the fall. I mean, it's a really nice ornamental tree. You know, and that's one of those where we always want to remind people, before you buy what tree or shrub you want, know what it's going to do. Know how big it's going to get. Know the size so you can make sure you get it in the right spot. Because, like, for example, if you need a tree that's only going to be 8 foot tall, a service berry may not be the best answer for that spot because it's going to get a little bigger than that. So you got to know what you're doing and make sure you pick a tree that's going to fit your spot.
I agree, because before you know it, you're taking it out or you're having to really cut up on it quite a bit, prune it back, and that's something you don't always want to do because you never allow a tree to give you the beauty that it's capable of giving you if you give it the space to grow in.
Right, and then we have storms like we had just coming through the other day, and you know, you have a pear tree that was planted 4 feet off the corner of the house. It's 30 feet tall. It's surrounding and engulfing the corner of the house. And all it is just rubbing up against the house. It's allowing critters to get onto the roof.
The ladder.
You know, it's just an easy entrance for them. But it's just not good for the tree when you go in there and you take that whole third and it looks like you just cut, you know, took a chainsaw and went straight up along parallel to the sides of the house. So, you know, just know what you're planting. Know the size that you need. And sometimes maybe you want a maple, but it really won't fit. So it might be a better choice to find something else.
I agree.
And there's a lot out there.
You know, speaking of maples, there's another one that I want to talk about. It's a smaller growing maple. It doesn't get a lot of notoriety that I think that it should. But when we come back out of the break, we'll talk a little bit about that particular maple. And give us a call here at 749-B105. You're with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And Bob Bard is filling in for Ernie this morning. Ernie's on special assignment, 2 weeks in a row for Ernie, and definitely he'll be in the studio with us next week, and we'll be back the full force here. And we're talking about small trees this morning in the landscape.
Well, you're going to hope you're on next week if I don't get you guys kicked off. So, you know, hopefully Ernie will be back because the show is still here. I don't get you guys removed from the station. So
I think so far so good.
We'll see.
It's all good. Bob?
It's
Bobby
early.
Boa?
It's early in the show, so
we have an eight-second delay, so don't worry about it.
Thank goodness for Mr. 859, John, sitting behind the desk.
We're good. But we were talking about, before we went into the break, another small maple I think deserves some merit, so to speak, and that's the Tartarian maple called Hot Wings.
Yeah, you know, that's one I've never used, but, you know, it's an interesting tree, and it has some very unique features.
It does, and it gets around 20 foot, give or take, and it's kind of dense. It's a maple that just, its notoriety is the red Samaras that it gets.
The red helicopters.
The helicopters. They just really, they show that tree off like nobody's business. And I think it's a very interesting tree. And we've had that one just recently a couple times in the nursery. And I think it's one worth looking at or considering if you have the place for it.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting is we've always talked about variety of trees. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't always have to go to the Japanese maple. It doesn't always have to go just to the snow fountain weeping cherry, which are two of my favorites. I admit I love them and mm-hmm. they're easy. And, but you know, if you want some interesting things, they're out there. It just takes a little bit of time. Now, maybe the garden center isn't stocking everything because it is very difficult to stock for a garden center to stock every plant.
It is.
That doesn't mean we can't find something
right.
for you. And,
right.
and we as garden center people, love some interesting plants, you know. I know we've got to sell our staples, you know, and we got to have those because they're the most popular and that's what's selling right now.
Right.
But there are some interesting things, you know. The armor maple, you know, that has some beautiful fall color. It's a little smaller.
I'm with you.
You know, that's an interesting one.
You can get that in a single trunk or a multi-trunk. And yeah. I had a couple of those multi-stem trunks in the nursery this year. Just a beautiful specimen. Around the 20-foot range,
yeah.
It's there. Gives you that. You talk about a nice red color in the fall.
It's
armor.
It's vibrant.
Maple.
It is incredibly vibrant. It's a beautiful color. You know, and there are some definitely interesting things. It's just going to take a little bit of maybe research. And you're going to go look on the internet, and you're going to talk to people, and you're going to, you know, if you talk to people, generally you're going to find some very interesting things because they're already growing around here. But sometimes the internet will say, you know, you got to be careful. Not everything's true on the internet. I know that's a news flash, but that's true. But you need know what you're getting, and then do a little bit of research, and then go talk to the independent garden center. That's the advantage.
I'm with you, because when you go out to the independent garden centers and nurseries, we're addicted to plants, just like I hope most homeowners are. And sometimes we need a little intervention.
Well,
but we like the different. We love to talk plants. We're not just there to get a paycheck. We enjoy what we do, and we want you to be successful.
Yeah, we love it, and we love to try new things. I mean, we're ordering all the stuff we're growing for next year for people, and I know you're doing the same thing, and all the guys throughout the garden centers are doing different things, and we're all looking for the next new thing because we get excited about new plants. So, and I know I always try a few new things that we're going to grow around the garden center just to try some new varieties that I haven't tried. Now, they may not be necessarily new or you know, but they're new to me. And so I'm always excited to try some different things and try to grow some different things. And even the Home and Garden Show, when we go downtown in February, I always force and try to get things to grow a little early just to see what I can do. And so we're excited about trying different things.
Oh, you do a great job with that, by the way, too. You get things, I don't know how you time it, but your timing's on. The show last year, when you have things in bloom down here at the Home and Garden Show,
sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's luck. Last year was a tough year. You just never know. I mean, it's just something you got to adjust temperatures and I don't do anything with grow lights, which would definitely help. And if I had a giant cooler to put things in, that would help too. But you know, it's just for fun, you know. And just like everybody in their landscaping, we love it. We love to try new things and grow new things. So you know, and you're always going to have a risk where you run into something that maybe isn't as hardy as you had hoped. Or there's issues down the road. But you know what? Sometimes it's fun just to try something new.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm always trying out the new stuff and seeing what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, it may be a perennial. It may be a tree. It may be a shrub. I mean, like, I still love the little butterfly bush, and I know those who have listened before have heard me mention it, but I love it. I know there's a risk you may lose them over the winter occasionally. They're not as hardy as something else, as some other plants. But, you know, I still love the color. I love the flower. I love the fact that the butterflies are attracted to it. Everything about it is something I enjoy. And to me, you know, $30 to $40, if I get a couple years out of it, that one particularly, I'm happy. So I'll take it.
Oh, I hear you. You know, as we've been talking about some of the smaller trees in the landscape, there's one that has been around for a while, and you don't see it as often as you used to. And you were talking about crab apples, and this is one, Sargentii.
Ah, yes. Beautiful
you know,
tree.
Gets about, 6 to 8, but it gets that nice horizontal growth to it. Really a cool specimen to have in the landscape.
And it's very tough and sturdy tree.
Yes,
so if you've got a high wind area where you need an ornamental, it's tough.
I like
it. It is still a crab apple, so occasionally it has, you know, a few issues, but the flower is unbelievably beautiful, a nice little fragrance to it. When it's in bloom, you love that tree.
It's a great tree.
And it's another one that looks great lit up. So you don't have, like we mentioned, you don't have to just enjoy your tree with the bloom. You know, it's something to start thinking about. Think about the bark. You know, what's it going to look like in the winter? You know, think about what I can do to dress it at night so I can enjoy it a little bit more. There's a lot of things that, little things you can do to really enjoy your landscape.
Most definitely. You know, and you're talking about the bark and the exfoliation of some of the trees, the bark that they give us. It just takes on a really beautiful look during the winter months, especially. One in particular I'm getting ready to plant down in my backyard. I've lost some trees back there, but it's the paper bark maple.
Oh, yes. Another interesting small maple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many varieties of different trees, and the maple is such a good example of it. There's probably, I don't even know how many varieties of Japanese maples and red maples and, you know, a Crimson King maple. I mean, there's just so many maples. We can't mention all of them, but the paper bark maple has just got an interesting color to the bark, the way
it's cinnamon color, Nick's foliage.
It's just something different. So you put, you know, something with a little bit of gold on the backdrop, or, you know, so it really pops the color. It just looks very interesting. And it's a slower grower. So that's another thing
is
a characteristic. If you want something different, you know, it's interesting. Now, another tree I think that's interesting, and I know a lot of people probably don't, it does get a little size, but it is more ornamental. I love the weeping Norway spruces, the weeping pines. I love some of those plants. I think they're specimen plants, and they're very interesting.
The Alaskan weeping cedar?
Ooh.
What about that one?
Yeah. It's funny you mention that, because that one to me is a little temperamental, and I'm a guy who likes it easy. You know, I do everybody else's yard.
Yeah,
I want to go home and I want it to be easy. So when people mention low maintenance, I get it. So that one, if it's dry enough and you get it in the right spot, it is an absolutely beautiful
thing. Yeah, hold on to that thought. We're going to take another quick break, and if you have any questions for Bob and me, feel free to give us a call here at 749-B105. And also, Kim, we lost you somehow. But please call us back, and we'll talk about those stray cats that are giving you a fit. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. I'm just cutting up. I had to ask John, our producer, a question, and he just looked at me and shook his head. That's, I'm going to leave it as that. And we had Bob Bard with us this morning from Bard's Nursery. We're talking about small landscaping trees in the in and around the house, in the landscape area, and so forth. And we've been bouncing back and forth with various tree species and just enjoying the whole show and talking about different things. And we do have Kim with us from Independence. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right. Sorry that we lost you there a moment ago.
I'll just call back. It doesn't bother me. But I have a problem. I have a Japanese maple.
Uh-huh.
I planted in May, and the trunk is very tiny. It's small.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all these cats. I have several of them that have been taking their claws and clawing on the stem. Mm. And it's, you know, it's scratching it. It's
right.
The bark is stripping. And I don't know if that's hurtful or if I can wrap it or do something with it.
Well, that's not good. That's for sure. And these aren't your cats, are they?
No, they are strays.
Wow.
You can do it all the time.
Yeah. I this is what I would encourage you to do. You could take chicken wire and just wrap it loosely around the trunk.
Okay.
And therefore, a lot of air will still get to the trunk itself, so it heals up from the scratching. And also, okay. I would put some around the tree on the ground and just cover it with mulch so you can keep him from trying to use it as a litter box, so to speak, around the tree itself.
Okay.
And Bob, you were talking about another product. Do you sell it at your nursery?
Yeah, well, there's just different tree wraps
right.
that are out there for people to use, and this okay. is a good example. But what you want is you want something that has definitely a lot of holes to allow sunlight and allow air
right.
to get through
right.
it and penetrate, because a lot of people want to use just the black corrugated pipe that you use for drainage. And the bad thing about that is it doesn't allow any light, and it allows very little air movement. And people will leave it on too long. Where the chicken wire, you can leave it on year-round, and it's also not as unsightly as some of the other wraps.
So where do you get something like that?
It is a local hardware store. It's just called chicken wire.
Okay.
It's real easy to work with. I mean, you can just bend it and work it with your hands. And that'll keep them from clawing on it for sure.
Oh, it's a mess. It's a shame.
You know, I hate to hear that.
And it's all over.
Yeah.
It is just scarred everywhere.
Mm. Are they feral cats just hanging out?
Yeah, well, I have to say I have fed them a couple of times because there's like four of them.
So
and I feel bad for them, you know.
I know.
They're, you know, and then I've noticed that they've done that, and I think, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't do
that. No, that's... But, my dad would call those sooners. The sooner they come, the sooner they want to stay.
Exactly. Okay, well, I'll get some of that wire And you said sort of loosely, right? Not
yeah.
tight, just loosely.
Yeah, not tight.
If they stick their claws in it, it's not going to...
No, they'll stay away from it, trust me. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, let us know how it goes. Nothing worse than a cat giving you a fit in a landscape. And a dog, too.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's my fault because I fed them, so...
Well, that's just
the consequences.
That. Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.
Have a great day.
Bye. You know, not just for cats, but also we're approaching that time of year where deer will wreak havoc on a lot of trees.
The deer are coming. So if you have trees that are smaller and trunk size right now and you have the ability to get some sort of protection on them,
do it.
Now's the time because it's coming. It is coming, and there's going to be a lot of issues with it.
And they'll destroy a tree like right now.
Well, that's one night.
Yeah.
One night, and then you'll come out and you'll have the same question that Kim just asked, you know, what's going to happen? The answer is you really don't know you know how deep they went or if they went all the way around. So even in Kim's instance, you know, if they just scratched lightly the edge and it's just flaked a little bit, probably not going to be much of an issue whatsoever. However, we've seen deer strip the bark all the way down, all the way through, all the way around, and really cause damage. And next spring, that tree is not coming out.
It's not coming back. And it's really, it's wait and see. You have no idea what the outcome's going to be.
No, but, absolutely.
So protect your tree now. Take the moment this weekend to get out and pick up some hardware cloth or the chicken wire or whatever wrap that you can put around the trunk of your tree, especially if you just planted them this year or last year. If you've never experienced any deer damage and you have a lot of deer activity, you're at risk.
Yeah, and one other thing we probably should have mentioned to Kim, and hopefully she's still listening, is when the tree is damaged, what do I do with it? You know, if it's damaged, what should I really do with it? Well, the answer is you really want to clean up the loose bark, kind of like you would loose skin on your finger. You know, and clean it up. That way it's got a clean cut. And there's two schools of thought. I know the new school is just let it heal naturally. You know, you talk to my grandfather, he's going to tell you to put some tree paint on it, you know, and go ahead and seal that up. You know, and now studies are showing maybe that's not the best thing. You know,
I'm on a fence about that. I agree with trying to allow the wound to heal itself. But I also try to look at it like this, Bob. I think that if I don't see it healing, or, you know, after a period of time, then, and if I start seeing a lot of insect activity around that wound or a lot of water laying in it, you know, to me, that's not a good sign.
My experience is I've had more damage not sealing it up. And that's just experience of, I had a crab apple where, you know, it got a split, it had some damage. And I, like I said, I know the studies are saying this, but I don't mind looking at a little bit of the black tar look to have it sealed. But I really think it's most important to go ahead and clean up the loose bark.
Right.
Get a nice, clean, fresh cut so that tree can seal over. If the tree seals pretty quick and resets to itself, it's going to be okay. Or you can get it cleaned up and then it scars over. There'll be a scar there, but like all of us, we can live with scars.
I have scars. You have scars?
Just a couple.
Just a couple.
A couple broken hearts, you know, a couple scars on the broken heart, you know what I mean?
That's a deep wound.
That's
right
a whole other story, too, in another show.
Yeah, maybe two or three.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree with you. You know, sometimes you need to intervene and take care of some of those issues. I do carry some of that pruning tar kind of stuff in a can.
Do you use the spray-on aerosol or do you use the brush-on?
Spray-on.
Yeah, the spray-on. We have both.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has their thing. The only thing I don't like to do is you'll have people sometimes put a full tree wrap, the old-fashioned tree wrap, on around the bark. I don't particularly love those as much. I know they work just fine. But, you know, I still like the chicken wire or something that allows air and light through to protect your trunk from the deer, the cats, or any particular problems that are getting on your trees.
Yeah. Well, hold on to that thought. And, Chuck, hang on out there in Independence. Seems like everybody's calling from your neck of the woods, Bob. And
that's a great place.
We'll get to you when we come out of the break. And if you have any other questions for us, give us a call at 749-B105. You're with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys in and around the house. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And Bob Barge with us this morning from Barge Nursery. He's filling in for Ernie. And if you're just getting up and joining us, welcome. And it's a little crisp out there this morning. And like, what did you say? You turned on your heater in the truck this morning?
I turned the heater on in the truck this morning. So, you know. It's
kitty,
fall.
Kitty, kitty,
and,
kitty, kitty.
Yeah, I don't like it cold.
Meow.
I liked last week.
Oh, I don't know. I like it when it's cool. I really do. Yeah. And when it gets so hot, like what we experienced this summer, it's brutal.
You know, this was the first Friday night football where it was actually chilly. You know, this year's been pretty warm overall for a lot of the high school kids.
Some may
have liked it. I don't know how that feels, but
I'm sure it feels a lot better when it's cooler than it is when it's hotter and you're playing football.
Oh, I bet.
You have all that gear on. Jeez.
Yeah, it probably felt nice for a lot of the kids out there.
I'm sure it did. And we have Chuck on the line with us from Independence. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm well.
What's going on? We're doing okay this morning.
I recently returned from Oregon this week.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a tree out there, an umbrella pine that I'd never seen before around here.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. You don't, that's a different type of specimen.
Are they not hardy? Will they not survive here?
Bob, we were talking about that in a break. Bob's brother had one. Did you see your brother had one?
My brother had one, and it was probably planted about 15 years ago. I think it came out of Oregon, and you just don't see many growers growing that particular tree. It is a hardy tree. The problem is it's such a slow grower that the growers, it takes years and years and years to grow the tree that they don't make a lot of money, so it's not a profitable tree. But that's why if you do find one, you'll find a 3 or 4 foot tall tree. It might be $300 or $400. I mean, it's going to be an expensive tree.
What'd you think of it, Chuck?
A beautiful tree.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely an eye catcher. That's for sure. I know, if you want to find this tree here locally, if anybody were to have it on hand at the moment, it would have to be Jim Montag at Lakeview Nursery.
Yeah, Jim has stuff.
He has unusual stuff. He gets a lot of interesting things in from the West Coast every year. And as a matter of fact, he's got a following with some people out of Alabama that come up and buy things from him every year.
And where's he located?
Right up there in Fairfield.
I'm going to be up there today.
Yeah, okay. Stop in. You'll have a good time cutting up with Jim. He's a great guy. He loves the unusual stuff, and if anyone has it, I know that Jim would have it on hand. And if not, this is the beauty of your local nurseries and garden centers. We get things from the West Coast, and every year we can pick one of those up for you. And I think do a little research because, have the right location for this particular species. Because sometimes I think that our hot afternoon sun's a lot different than what it is up in the upper Northwest.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right. Let us, follow up with us next week and let us know what you find up there at Lakeview, if Jim has it. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My brother's tree was beautiful. It came in about 4 to 5 foot tall. And it may have even been 20 years ago. You know how the time flies, and we can't remember exactly what happened last week either. But, it's a beautiful tree. It was a specimen tree. It was an extremely slow grower. The needles were a much stiffer needle as opposed to like the eastern white pine.
And it has that umbrella look.
It's just an interesting look. But what his kept the interesting shape. It kept the shape. It kept that pyramidal shape pretty tight. Where a pine tree sometimes can get a little unruly looking.
Right.
It's a very interesting tree. I love that tree. I've always wanted one for my yard. And really haven't been able to find one.
Does your brother still live in the same location where the tree was? Did he lose it or did he move?
He moved. So he moved. I still see the house occasionally.
You need to drive by there.
I need to go look.
Is it still there?
I'll be over by it tomorrow, actually.
That's the question. There you go.
I'll have to get a picture. I'll have to put it on Facebook for you guys just to see how big it is if it's still there. So I know the people that bought the house necessarily. They haven't taken care of the landscaping quite the way he did. It's a neat, interesting tree. And it's one of those that is zoned for our area. I believe it zones all the way to, up to five.
Five
zones. But, it's just one that it's such a slow grower. The garden centers aren't selling many of them, the wholesalers, not us, not the independent garden centers.
Those are the species of trees and so forth. And when you bring them into the area, they're pricey.
Yeah,
and you got to be willing to pay the price and also be willing to take the chance on some of these different and unique conifers that come from the upper Northwest. Everything up there grows so beautifully.
Well, it's just such a different climate up there. And they'll be right on the Pacific Ocean. And there's getting so much warmth and heat from that. So it's hard to believe they're further north than we are as far as, on the United States. But they're warmer than we are because of the warmth of the ocean. I think it's a zone 7, a lot of those guys up there. Warmer.
It's beautiful up there. And do you get anything in from the upper Northwest?
Just a couple things. Not a lot. We still like to get as much as we can from this area, if possible.
Right.
I think that's important. But, there are some things coming in that you can bring in from out west, and they'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah. Do you ever order anything from Isley, Bazan?
I haven't.
Bountiful?
I have before from Bazan, but I haven't from Isley. But they have the interesting evergreen. So if you're looking for something different, you'll find it there. And
I salivate. And there's a lot of evergreens that they sell and ship across the United States. Some of them I'm not even heard of.
Oh, yeah.
They're just different species, unique species.
And Jim's got a bunch of those up there. That's what he's known for. So. So if you stop in up at Lakeview today, say hi to Jim, tell him Bob and Tony sent you, And I know he's got some interesting.
I know he does. That's where the unusual is usual, as he always says.
Well, I mean, coming from Jim, that fits perfect. Coming from Jim, that's perfect.
He's a hoot, and always he's a wealth of knowledge too when it comes to the conifers. Yes, that's for sure. So you're going to find it up there, Chuck. So let us know. Follow up with us.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's another one of those we mentioned. You got to know what you're getting, and you got to know where to put it. Because if all of a sudden you stick that in a really super wet area or 100% shade, you're just throwing your money away. So yeah, make sure you get it in the right spot.
Yep, nope, definitely. You know, we're going to have an interesting conversation here just shortly, too. We're going to talk with Andrea D. She is the former Kenton County horticultural agent from a couple of years ago. And she wrote a nice little article in the Kentucky Gardener magazine. I don't know if you get that or not, Bob.
I've got a copy, and I actually read the article, and it's a very interesting article. I don't know if you guys got it on Facebook or whether we're going to be able to get it up on there on the Facebook page, but it's going to talk about something that I think is very important to me, and as a designer, I really like to have interesting things that we always talk about four seasons of landscaping.
Oh, and this
it's
is it.
Not just spring, summer, and fall. And this article is really, really educational. It's a great article, and it talks about how wintertime you can still have some interesting landscape.
Most definitely. And the title of the editorial or the piece that she had written for the Kentucky Gardening Magazine, it's called Bark, Berries, and Beautiful Branches. We're going to talk more about that, too, here just in a little bit. So you're going to definitely want to hang out with us all morning because we have a great show lined up for you. Again, we will be talking with Andrea D. about bark, berries, and beautiful branches. And also around the 8 o'clock hour, our good friend Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design will be in with us this morning to talk about some kitchen ideas, design trends, things that you need to know about countertops as well. I know I have a lot of questions for Wayne, and we're looking forward to Wayne joining us. He's got a beautiful place that just opened recently up in the Fort Mitchell area, just right there by the Greyhound Grill. So you can go to Wayne's Kitchen Place up there on Dixie Highway, and when you're finished, go right across the street to the Greyhound Grill and pick up a nice lunch. They did a nice little patio outside area that's got a fireplace. It's nice ambiance, so you got to check out the Greyhound Grill.
It's amazing how you always turn the show to food. Last week, we were talking about cookies and donuts, and man, look at
you were talking about the cookies and donuts.
Well, you got to have cookies and donuts every time, so it's just fantastic. But the show always goes to food. You know, what is it about us?
Well, I like to eat.
Yeah.
Ernie does. That's evident.
Ernie likes to eat.
Loves to eat. He'll rummage through stuff in the cantina when we get here in the morning.
You know, We're missing Ernie in the show. I mean, I Ernie is just an incredible man, and he does some incredible things, and it's going to be good to have him back next week. So, but a couple times I was in, he was in with us, and I just love sitting around talking to Ernie. He's got great stories, always has a funny story to tell,
and
it just keeps
cool,
you laughing.
Calm and collected.
Calm and collected.
Is he not?
Yeah, he's a great man. He's a great man.
Good old boy there, that's for sure. But, you know, we're talking a little bit about, I'm going to go back to some of the smaller trees in the landscape. And one that been around for a number of years, we don't talk about a lot. I know that some of the various varieties of the dogwood can be a little temperamental given the situation or the weather at hand. I like some of the dogwoods, Bob.
I absolutely love the dogwoods. You have to know they're going to be temperamental. You know, you just have to know that success is not 100% on those, but it is an absolutely beautiful flower.
The Chinese varieties are a lot more, they're more resistant to anthracnose versus the Floridian varieties.
Yes, but the Floridian variety is the pretty one. That's the one, yeah, everybody thinks dogwood, that's the one you
think. That's the one they see.
Because
it
the
is.
Flower and like the Cherokee Chief and some of those beautiful
Cloud things. Nine.
Oh, just absolutely unbelievable flower, and they get a beautiful foliage in the fall. You know, that's the one thing about dogwoods. We always talk about the flower. You know, it's a great one. Now, one of its partners that I love, or I kind of partner the two together, I love the red buds. I love the forest pansy red bud, and I love the eastern red bud. Those are the ones that bloom early in the spring, that rosy pink flower, really deep color, and you'll see in the woods growing natural. But there's one other one. When I said red buds, I mentioned those two, but one you don't see a lot of that is very interesting is the weeping redbud. And that's another one of those, you know.
Ruby Falls?
Yeah.
Just
interesting.
Yes,
interesting tree that if you're looking for the small tree, that might be one to consider.
Lavender Twist. Red Bud, too, is another nice
one.
What do you think about Rising Sun? You like that gold color?
I love the foliage.
Yeah.
I love the flower. And it's going to kind of be that yellowy chartreuse color. I love it. I think it's a beautiful plant. I don't plant as many of those as I do the forest pansy. I think the forest pansy is the one we sell the most of at the garden center.
What about single stem or multi-stem?
Single stem is what we sell the most of. But I'm glad you brought that up because that's even with a lot of different trees. You know, if you want something different and interesting,
right?
The crab apple will have multi-stems. You can do that one. You know, some of the maples, if you look, you know, you'll find multiple stems on some of those. You know, there's a lot of things you can have that makes the landscaping more interesting. So when we say multi-stems, we mean three, sometimes four, five, six trunks, and it just gives you a different look.
And it really gives you a good representation when we talk about multi-stem trees or, you know, even that shrub look. Think of the river birch.
Yes.
Most of those are multi-stem. So that's what we're talking about. And you get that really, that interest with the you know, the tree itself and its characteristics. And it just really, I don't know, it has an aura about it that I think is wonderful.
Well, it gives you usually a vase shape, so it gives you a different shape in the landscaping. And when we talk about, you know, the winter color and the spring color, you know, having different shapes in your landscaping makes it interesting, too.
That it does.
You just don't need round. Everything doesn't have to be round. You can have some vertical growth. You can have some horizontal growth.
Oval, pyramidal.
You know, have some different shapes, and that'll make your landscaping even more interesting.
Well, hold on to those ideas, and Rose, you hang on with us. We're going to get to you when we come out of the break. If you have a question for Bob, myself, feel free to give us a call here at 749-B105. And this is Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And if you're just getting up and joining us, welcome this morning. And a little cooler than what we were last week at this time, but I'm certainly going to take it. I like it as we cool down, and I think that we need to do that, as a matter of fact. If you want to catch a past show from In and Around the House, go on our website, and you can grab any one of the podcasts from the past. You can also send us messages on Facebook if you like, and you can also email us as well at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. We do our best to get back to you rather quickly, and sometimes if it's a couple of days, just be a little patient with us. But for the most part, we will answer all of our messages and questions that you send us. And we also were going to get with Rose here up in the Norwood area. Good morning, Rose. How are you?
Good morning.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what, as you guys were talking about trees, I just wanted to let you know I do enjoy waking up and listening to you on Saturday morning. It really is a nice way to start the day.
Well, thank you kindly. We get a lot of those comments like that, and I'm so appreciative of it. And sometimes when people say, hey, I listen to you, I'll look at them and I'll hold my ears like, is it good? Is it bad? But thank you, Rose, for the compliment.
It really is. It's nice. It's relaxing. It's educational. It's interesting. My question is this. There is a tree that is growing at a church over in Oakley that is, people stop to look at it. This tree appears to be a dwarf tree. About a month or so ago, it got these berries on. They look like strawberries, except they're round. And they turn red.
Do you happen to know whether the tree has any thorns on it or any characteristics that could help us identify that?
I haven't observed any thorns on it. It's a dwarf tree.
How tall would you think it is?
And I've never seen anything like it. And so many people stop and stand there looking at the thing. It's just different. I've never seen anything like it. And I've asked a couple people that work there at the church, and no one can identify it.
Is the church, what church is it located?
Church of Christ in Oakley.
And how tall do you think the tree is?
I would say it's about 10, 15 foot, probably about 10 foot.
Okay. Does it have a single stem or does it have multi-stems?
Multi-stems,
okay. And is the bark, does the bark have any particular color, or is it mainly gray?
It looks like it's a brown gray.
It's a brown gray.
It's got like a thick bark on it.
Okay. Does it have any color to the leaf, or is the leaf green?
Green.
Hmm. It's hard to tell what that is. Is it a larger leaf or smaller leaf?
Smaller leaf.
Bob, this is a special assignment for you.
It's a special assignment?
Yes. When you leave the show, you need to go over to Oakley.
I need to go and find it. Do you happen to remember in the spring, does it get a flower?
No, I hadn't observed it. I hadn't observed it in the spring, and I've been over at that church quite a few times, but this is maybe it's come to maturity or something, because mm-hmm. now it's just a showstopper.
No, well, you know what? You've captured our attention, and we'll do our best to get over there between now and next Saturday, and we'll see what it is.
Okay, if you go up there, there's a walkway to the church, and it is up by the doors. There's a sign there that says United Church of Christ.
Okay.
You walk up that sidewalk, and it's right by the doors to the right.
Got it.
It's a showstopper. I've never seen anything like it.
We'll definitely check it out for you. I promise you that.
Is there any other kind of tree that gets berries on it like that in the winter?
Well, a lot of your crab apples will berry up.
Sometimes I watch the news. This is funny. Sometimes I've seen the news, and I remember one time the news crew was broadcasting from Clifton, and it was like in January. And this tree in the background had these large red berries on it.
Probably a crab apple. It just varies, and I'll hold on to them for a while. I have a Narragansett, and it holds its berries for a while, and usually as the robins go through the winter months foraging for food, they pretty well pick and clean the tree. So
that's what I'm interested in, a tree like that. I know another one that birds really like is the junipers. I know at the house I used to live in, we had the junipers, and those berries would come on, and it's like we'd have snow in the winter, and birds would be clamored to this juniper.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Rose, we're going to, you captured our attention with that one. We're going to check that one out for you. So you definitely have to stay tuned next Saturday. And while we're talking, you just brought up another tree for me to talk about with Bob. And that is the Winter King Hawthorn, one of my favorites. And talking about birds, going to that one. Or any of the hawthorns, Bob, right there by our garden center, we have a hawthorn that the cedar waxwings will hang out, and they love that tree. Interesting tree.
It's a beautiful tree.
That it is. And that's what this show's all about, too, just as Rose called in, and she's kind of curious as to what species this particular tree is or what it is. I always like those kind of questions, you know, and you're trying to, I immediately think like crab apples and different things.
Well, I was thinking crab apple. I was thinking hawthorn. I was even thinking, talking about different, there's so many different trees that are starting to add some different interests, you know, trying to narrow it down to what size is the tree, how big is it?
What is it,
you know, does it get a flower? Just all the things that we can identify the tree. So if you're ever trying to identify the tree, that's how we do it. We sit there and just ask questions and try to narrow things down. But, if worst comes to worst, if anybody's even close to the church, maybe they can even shoot us a quick picture and we can identify it now. So, shoot it on Facebook or something quick.
That's a tall order to fill.
Hey, you never know who's listening.
You don't. That's good, Bob. I like that.
But, the Winter King Hawthorn gives you that really interesting berry. And it looks interesting. It has a nice silvery gray foliage to it. And they're getting ready to come into their own and have a great show.
They are. And you know the one thing about the Winter King Hawthorn? I love that gray bark look that it has going through the winter months. It just stands out. And it's got beautiful structure. That tree is second to none.
It's the gray bark
with the
red berry. And it just adds such a contrast that it's a beautiful showstopper in the winter.
It is. And, a lot of people get really turned off by the thorns that it gets. Don't let that bother you.
But it has a beautiful, beautiful flower, too. Yeah. That's the one thing we don't forget. In spring, when it's blooming, it's very pretty.
Very nice tree.
It's a very interesting tree.
Very, very nice tree. That's for sure. And, we were talking about some other small trees in the landscape. And we were discussing the dogwoods and so forth, which I really like a lot. And I want to go back and talk about the Japanese maples, and we'll do that when we come back out of the break. And if you have any question for Bob and myself, feel free to give us a call here at 749-B105. I'm Tony Wirsch with Ernie Brown, your local home and gardening guys, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys, and Bob Bards co-hosting for Ernie today.
Morning.
Good morning, Bob, and always a pleasure to have you in. You know, if you're just getting up and joining us, welcome. And also, I want to point out that our good friends over at Burger Farm, they have their big pumpkin patch fall festival going on this weekend. It's going to be a little on the chilly side today, but tomorrow it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be around 72. So this weekend, get the little ones together, take them over to Burger Farms, enjoy the hay rides and all the fun activities that are going on at Burger Farms. I've always heard people talk highly of that little fall festival that they have over there. Have you ever been there?
I have been over there to see Bart a couple times. Yeah. So yeah, they're loaded up, ready to go. The slides, the rides, they got it.
The straw maze and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm, yeah. So you're looking for something to do today, that would be something great to do.
Yeah, and tomorrow's gonna be great to get out and plant. I mean, we've had some moisture. Everything's worked really nice as far as that, and it's gonna be 70 degrees. It's gonna be warm, the cool nights. Get out and plant. Now is a great time to plant your trees and shrubs.
That it is. And we're going to talk with, we have Jeff with us this morning from Amelia. Good morning, Jeff. How are you? Jeff, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
I got a Japanese maple. We put it in about 3 years ago, and last year it had a sprout that came off towards the base of it, and the foliage on it, the leaves were larger and green, so I didn't know. This year, the tree didn't do well at all. Matter of fact, it's looking like it's dying off.
Do you know the variety of maple that you have there in the landscape? Did you buy it, or was it there?
No, I bought it at, I think I actually bought it at Lowe's.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. If I remember right, it was a Chinese.
Yeah, Japanese maple. Well, actually, it was probably, is the foliage on it real fine and textured like a lace leaf, or is it like a typical maple leaf?
No, the main part of the tree was actually real small, you know, really like a vibrant red.
Okay.
And then the stuff that suckered off from the bottom, it looked like a regular maple leaf. It was green.
Right. Well, what you're seeing there is it's grafted. And a lot of the maples, like the Japanese maples, and that's why they're expensive. When you see them in the nursery, they're a little salty, and you're going to pay more for a better grafting job. That grafting job that that's what you're talking about there, where you're seeing something else coming out. It's broken the graft, so the graft didn't really take as well as you would like for it to take. You can continue to let it do its thing and see what happens, and also when those things happen, 9 times out of 10, you're always pruning that out.
Right.
Unfortunately, that sometimes happens, and it just varies on the grade and how it was done and in the nursery that was growing it and where it came from.
Okay.
So, and Bob, you ever have that? You ever experienced that or seen that often? Or?
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Not very often, but it does happen. And all you need to do is go back there and prune it out. And just remove it. And as far as the tree not looking as good as it should, a lot of the lace leaf maples that he's describing have had some issues due to how much moisture we had over the summer and how heavy the rains were. Because those leaves are very dainty. So, you know, when you start getting them, you know, they're getting beat up with heavy raindrops, and then you have the heavy rain and then the sun bakes on it just a little bit. You're going to have some issues like that. I would sit tight. I wouldn't worry too much about the lace leaf maples. We're seeing that a lot. Just give it a little bit of a haircut as far as trimming that big branch out, and then just let the rest go until next spring.
All right, great.
All right, Jeff. Have a good weekend. You know, you just brought something up there, Bob. You know, the lace leaf's they're a little bit more temperamental, you know, coming out of the winter months, and as things start to progress and things warm up, they start to put on some, you know, some growth. And then all of a sudden, you know, like this year, we had those frost in the middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the frost, when we have those heavy freezes and frost in the middle of May, and those lace leaf Japanese maples have started to flush out, that's not good.
Right. And it nailed them. Yeah. And so
absolutely.
What it does is it freezes that foliage off, and then you'll have some die back. And sometimes you have to just prune it out and let it come back. But the last few winters have been hard on them. They're not a a very, they're not a bad tree. They're just, there's a few things that can get them, and one is the frost in May. That definitely will do it. A cold winter occasionally will hurt them just a little bit as well. But usually all you have to do is prune it out, shape it up just a little bit, and that's where we talked about early in the show about going in and trimming and thinning out the inside. On the lace leaf maples, to keep them the most interesting or give them the best look, you want to thin those out. Take your hand pruners and remove some good-sized branches to allow some air and for it to open up, and then that way it'll have a nice, full, interesting look all the way around, because the graft and the uniqueness of those branches are something that's really interesting.
What makes it, that's what makes it attractive.
Absolutely. So, but those leaves and those leaves on the end, they'll curl in the summer. There's always something with those as far as the heat. But this year, there's a lot of issues with the lace leaf maples. I'm just tell everybody, be patient, sit tight, should be fine by spring.
Do you have a particular favorite lace leaf Japanese maple?
Tumurakia.
Tamukiyama?
Yeah, see,
is that it? Tamukiyama.
Tamukiyama.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a very reliable one. So yeah. I like that one.
Crimson Queen is another one I love.
Mm-hmm. What about Veritas? I like the green in Veritas.
Oh, you do? You like the green?
I do. And also a nice, well, most people, you know, you're accustomed to seeing the red Japanese maples.
Correct.
So the Veritas has its place, I think.
Right.
And it has a nice fall color to it.
And what Tony's describing is a Japanese maple that looks lacy, but it's a solid green leaf. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful tree, and it grows just like the red lace-leaf Japanese maples, but it's green, you know, and it does. It has its place. If you mix some blues and golds and reds around it, it's very interesting, and it looks great in the landscape.
It does. And a good old standby, you can't beat it. It's been around for a while. True, tried, and tested. I have one. It's almost 20 years old, and it's beautiful out in the front yard. Is Blood Good.
You cannot go wrong with the Blood Good Japanese maple.
No, it just shines. It's a great,
wonderful
one.
Tree.
But what about Emperor One? You like Emperor One?
It's all right. It's not one of my first choices. I'll go with Blood Good over that any day.
Well, I'm with you, but a little different hue of red in that one versus Blood Good.
You know, that's what's
a little sensitive to the more sun it gets, it's a little bit more sensitive to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one I love that I don't think it's as hardy, but actually was the butterfly maple, was the variegated one.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that one.
Yeah,
so,
very nice.
It would have some interesting bark on it in the wintertime as well. It was just a little bit different looking. So, but not as hardy as some of the other varieties, so I don't use it quite as much.
What about the good old Sango Kaku?
Bless you.
Sango Kaku.
Yes.
The orange coral bark.
That's an interesting
That's
tree.
That's very pretty.
It's another one that, you know, gives you that winter interest. And
what do you think about its hardiness? I mean, honestly,
honestly,
in favor of it? You know, sometimes I've seen it.
The hard winters really kind of get
I've seen it
one.
Struggle,
we're,
though.
We're
I like
pushing,
it.
We're pushing pretty far north to get that one, I feel. It's just my opinion. But the ones that I've had in the store, we've had a few issues with them. And most of it is due to the winter.
And placement in the landscape, I think. I think you need to put those in places, just like you would a crepe myrtle, where they're somewhat protected. Then you'll get that performance out of it that you're capable of getting.
Yeah.
But that bark, that coral color in the bark,
it is.
It's drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah, and stunning. We're getting to that time where, you know, if you're going to plant some things and, you know, plant some things that are going to be interesting in winter. And I know we're going to talk about this very soon, and I'm excited about us talking about it. So, because you know, the winter interest is something we all need in the landscape. When we talked about ornamental grasses last week, the ornamental grasses give you some interest in the winter. I know sometimes they can get a little messy, but, you know, we like movement. We like color. We like some different things. And you know, the grasses, the maples, there's a lot of things out there, you know, that can give you some interesting look. Now, one of my favorites, I don't know how you feel, is I actually like the red twig dogwood.
I'm with you. I do, too. I know that summer, I love the red twig dogwood, especially in the winter months.
In the winter.
That's where you get that winter interest, and that's part of the branches that are attractive during the winter months.
Right, and I know where you're going with this, so go ahead.
Well, that is one of those shrubs that you need to keep in an area that gets a lot of circulation, air circulation around it. You might even thin it out a little bit. Because they can be prone to powdery mildew.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like looking at this shrub like, dude, I really like you, but man, you're not giving it to me.
And they'll get some spots on their leaves in the summertime from the rain, and you just have to know that you're putting up with a little bit of a look in the summer that's not as attractive in order to have the winter color.
What was the one that you were talking about? Arctic Fire?
Arctic Fire was one that kind of had like tips on that were red on top. And gold, more of a yellowy gold towards the bottom. So in the winter, it looked like it had like a little flame to it. So not as hardy, but very interesting.
I like the yellow twig dogwood too.
Yeah.
I think there's an interesting concept or something about that yellow twig. And I like using it in Christmas containers. So if you're growing some of these in your landscape and you have the room, the beauty of it is you can go out there and just snip a few stems off and do these decorative porch pots, and it's right there. You don't even have to buy it.
Right. And we all have a spot on our landscaping where it's not as noticeable, where it's the most important spot. Where this is the red twig dogwood, because they get a little issue in the summer, is not something you're going to put right out on the corner of the patio where it's the focal point, because you're going to have some issues with it. But if everybody's got a spot or two where maybe the side of the house or something where it's not quite as important visually in the summer, but it's still interesting to have in your landscape.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. It really, these are things that you know, create some interest. And not every year is it a brutal year, nor is it a banner year for some, you know, shrub species.
Right.
You know, it all is dictated by the weather.
Yep. Now, another one I like is the beautyberry bush.
Oh, the calocarpa.
Yes.
Yes.
The purple berries on it.
Yes.
In the fall.
I have some in a nursery right now, one called Profusion, which is more of an upright grower.
Okay.
It is loaded with purple berries. They're stunning.
Right. And it's beautiful. And it's absolutely beautiful. You know, we had the lady calling about the tree we're going to try to identify for her there in Oakley, the tree in Oakley. You know, the beautyberry bush is another one that gets a beautiful berry on it. You know,
all the way up the stem. All the way up the stem.
So many beautiful things out there that you can do in the fall. Maybe you just don't know or you don't think about.
Now, there's another beautyberry that's more of has more of an arching, weeping effect look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Amethyst Falls is
one.
Love
the Amethyst Falls.
Gosh, I mean, they are just drop dead gorgeous. Right. And the thing of it is, Bob, unless you're designing with it and you tell somebody or convey to that he or she, is like, this is one you got to wait for.
Right.
Because early in the spring in the nursery, nobody's even looking at them. No one's even paying attention to them.
Right. Well, they're kind of like a potentilla. They don't look like a whole lot until they're in bloom.
The old potentilla.
I mean, and the beautyberry is kind of the same way. It's just one of those, you don't buy it, go, I love the foliage, I love the brand, you know, but then all of a sudden, the fall berry shows up.
And then
all of a sudden, there's your show.
That's what it's all about. All right, we got a lot to still cover yet. We're going to talk a little bit about bark, continue this conversation with bark, berries, and beautiful branches. And we're going to try and get a hold of our good friend Andrea D to discuss a little bit more of this, because she wrote a wonderful article in the Kentucky Gardening Magazine, and we want to touch base with her on that. Give us a call at 749-B105, and we'll be right back. Tamukiyama?
Yeah, see,
is that it? Tamukiyama.
Tamukiyama.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a very reliable one. So yeah. I like that.
Crimson Queen is another one I love.
Mm-hmm. What about Veritas? I like the green in Veritas.
Oh, you do? You like the green?
I do. And also a nice, well, most people, you know, you're accustomed to seeing the red Japanese maples.
Correct.
So the Veritas has its place, I think.
Right.
And it has a nice fall color to it.
And what Tony's describing is a Japanese maple that looks lacy, but it's a solid green leaf. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful tree, and it grows just like the red lace-leaf Japanese maples, but it's green, you know, and it does. It has its place. If you mix some blues and golds and reds around it, it's very interesting, and it looks great in the landscape.
It does. And a good old standby, you can't beat it. It's been around for a while. True, tried, and tested. I have one. It's almost 20 years old, and it's beautiful out in the front yard. Is Blood Good.
You cannot go wrong with the Blood Good Japanese maple.
No, it just shines. It's a great
wonderful
one.
Tree.
What about Emperor One? You like Emperor One?
It's all right. It's not one of my first choices. Mm-hmm. I'll go with Blood Good over that any day.
Well, I'm with you, but a little different hue of red in that one versus Blood Good.
You know, that's what's
a little sensitive to the more sun it gets, it's a little bit more sensitive to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one I love that I don't think it's as hardy, but actually was the butterfly maple, was the variegated one.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that one.
Yeah,
so
very nice.
It would have some interesting bark on it in the wintertime as well. It was just a little bit different looking. So, but not as hardy as some of the other varieties, so I don't use it quite as
much. What about the good old Sango Kaku?
Bless you.
Sango Kaku.
Yes.
The orange coral bark.
That's an interesting
tree.
That's
very pretty.
That's another one that, you know, gives you that winter interest. And
what do you think about its hardiness? I mean, honestly,
honestly,
in favor of it, you know, sometimes I've seen it.
The hard winters really kind of get
I've seen it struggle, though.
We're pushing pretty far north to get that one, I feel. It's just my opinion, but the ones that I've had in the store, we've had a few issues with them, and most of it is due to the winter.
And placement in the landscape, I think. I think you need to put those in places, just like you would a crepe myrtle, where they're somewhat protected. Then you'll get that performance out of it that you're capable of getting.
Yeah.
But that bark, that coral color in the bark,
it is.
It's drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah, and we're getting to that time where, you know, if you're going to plant some things and, you know, plant some things that are going to be interesting in winter. And I know we're going to talk about this very soon. And I'm excited about us talking about it. So, because, you know, the winter interest is something we all need in the landscape. And we talked about ornamental grasses last week. The ornamental grasses give you some interest in the winter. I know sometimes they can get a little messy, but, you know, we like movement. We like color. We like some different things. And, you know, the grasses, the maples, there's a lot of things out there, you know, that can give you some interesting look. Now, one of my favorites, I don't know how you feel, is I actually like the red twig dogwood.
I'm with you. I do, too. I know that summer... I love the red twig dogwood, especially in the winter months.
In the winter.
That's where you get that winter interest, and that's part of the branches that are attractive during the winter months.
Right, and I know where you're going with this, so go ahead.
Well, that is one of those shrubs that you need to keep in an area that gets a lot of circulation, air circulation around it. You might even thin it out a little bit, because they can be prone to powdery mildew.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like looking at this shrub like, dude, I really like you, but man, you're not giving it to me.
And they'll get some spots on their leaves in the summertime from the rain, and you just have to know that you're putting up with a little bit of a look in the summer that's not as attractive in order to have the winter color.
What was the one that you were talking about? Arctic Fire?
Arctic Fire was one that kind of had like tips on that were red on top and gold, more of a yellowy gold towards the bottom. So in the winter, it looked like it had like a little flame to it. So not as hardy, but very interesting.
I like the yellow twig dogwood too.
Yeah.
I think there's an interesting concept or something about that yellow twig, and I like using it in Christmas containers. So if you're growing some of these in your landscape and you have the room, the beauty of it is you can go out there and just snip a few stems off and do these decorative porch pots, and it's right there. You don't even have to buy it.
Right. And we all have a spot on our landscaping where it's not as noticeable, where it's the most important spot. Where this is the red twig dogwood, because they get a little issue in the summer, is not something you're going to put right out on the corner of the patio where it's the focal point, because you're going to have some issues with it. But if you've everybody's got a spot or two where maybe the side of the house or something where it's not quite as important visually in the summer, but it's still interesting to have in your landscape.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. It really, these are things that... you know, create some interest. And not every year is it a brutal year, nor is it a banner year for some, you know, shrub species.
Right.
You know, it all is dictated by the weather.
Yep. Now, another one I like is the beautyberry bush.
Oh, the calocarpa.
Yes.
Yes.
The purple berries on it.
Yes.
In the fall.
I have some in a nursery right now, one called Profusion, which is more of an upright grower.
Okay.
It is loaded with purple berries. They're stunning.
Right. And it's beautiful. And it's absolutely beautiful. You know, we had the lady calling about the tree we're going to try to identify for her there in Oakley, the tree in Oakley. You know, the beautyberry bush is another one that gets a beautiful berry on it. You know,
all the way up the stem. All the way up the stem.
So many beautiful things out there that you can do in the fall. Maybe you just don't know or you don't think about.
Now, there's another beautyberry that's more of has more of an arching, weeping effect look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Amethyst Falls is
love
one.
Love the Amethyst Falls.
Gosh, I mean, they are just drop-dead gorgeous. Right. And the thing of it is, Bob, unless you're designing with it and you tell somebody or convey to the he or she, it's like, this is one you got to wait for.
Right.
Because early in the spring, in the nursery, nobody's even looking at them. No one's even paying attention to them.
Right. Well, they're kind of like a potentilla. They don't look like a whole lot. until they're in bloom.
The old potentilla.
I mean, and the beauty berry's kind of the same way. It's just one of those, you don't buy it, go, I love the foliage, I love the brand, you know, but then all of a sudden the fall berry shows up.
Then
all of a sudden there's your show.
That's what it's all about. All right, we got a lot to still cover yet. We're going to talk a little bit about bark. Continue this conversation with bark, berries, and beautiful branches. And we're going to try and get a hold of our good friend, Andrea D, to discuss a little bit more of this because she wrote a wonderful article in the Kentucky Gardening Magazine, and we want to touch base with her on that. Give us a call at 749-B105, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And we're having fun this morning talking about different plant species, tree species, shrubs, you name it. And we have Jerry with us up in Lebanon. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
All right. That's Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. How
are Jerry.
You today?
If you'd like to make a call. All right. Do we still have Jerry or no? Okay. But I think Jerry had a question about a ginkgo tree.
I love ginkgos. Love ginkgos.
You know, that's just one that I always remember that tree from when I was in grade school. We would always bring in leaves during the fall season. And the ginkgo was that one unique leaf you would always bring in. And
everybody could identify the ginkgo. I mean, in high school when you had to do your leaf collection.
Yeah, and then
that
you
was
would
the
you
one
would,
everybody got.
You would also you would put that you would like put them between wax paper and iron it lightly, and then you bring that in. You know, be the old oak leaves, maple leaves, and that was always a good time.
That was, but the fall color on the ginkgo tree being a bright gold yellow is gorgeous. Just absolutely gorgeous. Now, once again, that's a tree when you buy it at the garden center, especially this time of year because there's no leaves or their leaves are falling off.
Yeah.
You're not going to like that tree probably because the branch structure is very different, unique, but when it's in leaf and it gets big and then it has the beautiful fall color, it's gorgeous.
Turns out beautiful yellow color and then all of a sudden, boom, overnight, every one of those leaves have dropped.
Yeah,
it happens like that.
It is a gorgeous yellow. It is not a yellow brown. It is a true golden yellow.
All right. And we have our good friend Andrea D with us this morning. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Oh, what's it feel like getting up early? Do you normally get up early?
I'm getting ready to go on a breast cancer walk. I was up, so it's not a big deal. I just carry a morning voice with me for a solid 2 hours.
Nothing wrong with that. I carry it all day.
Tony always has to have 3 or 4 cups of coffee to really get going.
That I rely on coffee big time. You know, Andrea, I wanted to get in touch with you because last week I had briefly mentioned that I loved the article that you wrote in Kentucky Gardener magazine for the month of October. And I just thought the topic, the subject, bark, berries, and beautiful branches was excellent. What was the catalyst for that? I mean, have you been thinking about writing about that topic or did it just...
Sure. So I think when I do some landscape design, you know, for family and friends, and the season that I think is often missed when people design for themselves is the winter season. Everybody's super concerned about the blooms, you know, the flowers all summer long.
And
sometimes they think about the leaf color too and textures in the summer, but the winter, I mean, we are looking at those dormant kind of plants from November all the way through March. And it's just a solid 5 months and, you know, you come home and everything looks kind of dreary. So I think it just really helps if you amplify it and you kind of think about the bark, you know, when you're looking at your design through the winter, the berries, if you can incorporate any, and then the branch structure, which you guys have been talking about today too. So that was kind of the idea for the article, to inspire people to add a little more interest into the winter.
Well, you inspired me because when I read the article, I thought, oh, this is great. And I miss you. I always enjoyed working with you when you were at the extension office out there in Kenton County. And I know with the new little addition with Daisy June and how she's doing, by the way.
She's doing great.
Good.
She's up too. We're getting ready to do this walk together. So, she's doing good. She's a good little gardener already.
Good.
That's working out.
And she is a good teacher, that's for sure. But, you know, you were talking about some of the bark of some of the shrubs and trees. What are some of your favorites?
Okay, so I guess most people can incorporate shrubs easier than, you know, a brand new tree addition.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking out, you know, some foundation plants that are kind of just done and expired, I would definitely recommend including something like Nine Bark. I really like Summer Wine and Diablo. And some of those varieties, the Diablo can get a little taller, but you can prune them down a little bit. But they have a nice papery bark that you can look at. It's kind of a thinner branch, but that gives some interest. And then I really like Kiwi Oak Leaf Hydrangea because it's, you know, a smaller size oak leaf hydrangea.
Right.
So the cinnamon-colored peeling bark is just such a pretty addition to the winter. And the structure of that shrub is really stately, too. So it has some sprawling, kind of wide-open branching, which I really, really like that one. I try to include, you know, a little grouping of three of those in just about every little design I do. Because they also have flowers, you know, so it, it kind of hits that. And then beautiful full color. And also the leaf texture is just so pretty next to a lot of other shrubs. So that's probably a star. And then for trees, I love, and it's hard to find, but the lace bark pine, if you have enough space for a, you know, new tree addition.
Uh-huh.
If you have something evergreen and you also have that kind of camouflage pattern bark that's three different colors. So that's a really neat one as well.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, another one, too, that I really like a lot, too, is the alley elm, the lace bark elm.
Oh, yes, lace bark is a neat, even street tree.
Yeah.
Really pretty.
Beautiful tree for sure. And even the birch tree, you know, you get that winter interest with the birch.
Yeah, I am really a fan of Persian parodia, too.
Yeah.
It's just hard to find some of these, but if you start asking for them, sometimes they arrive at the garden center. And that one, right now, if you see one, you know, the fall color is gorgeous. But then what you'll see after that is that really pretty bark pattern as well. And it's a neat kind of upright, kind of oval look, so sort of like a river birch or something in the landscape. So I really like that one. I know Crone Conservatory has a beautiful one around the back of their greenhouse. Mm-hmm. I always kind of check on it and see what it's doing because it's such a multi-season shrub or tree. So
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the evergreens that you like to work in? Because I'm an evergreen guy for a lot of times in the winter. What are some of the special colors or what are some of the things that you like to add to your landscaping?
So with evergreens, what I like to do is just make sure I don't have all needle evergreens or all broadleaf and kind of put the different textures next to each other. So, you know, if I was lucky enough to have some good soil to have a hemlock, which is my very favorite, you know, I wouldn't want to put that next to, you know, a spruce or something that's not going to show off the needles. So I really love if you know, don't have drying winds, like a Brackens Brown Southern Magnolia is just such a gorgeous, elegant kind of look. But if you're mixing something broadleaf like that and waxy and shiny next to something that's needled, I think that gives a really striking look. So a lot of times I just try to think about, you know, not putting the same texture next to the same texture with evergreens.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think that's a great thing for our listeners to hear is it's real important. And I think that's what your article really talks about is that having those different textures and those different colors and mixing the different things. And it's just, I think it's a wonderful article and just absolutely love some of the ideas and some of the plants that you talked about.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a fun one to write because it does mean a lot. That's what, and, you know, excites me in the winter is to see all those differences when I look outside my window.
And, you know, I was working with somebody about designing a landscape area in and around her house. And, you know, just everything you're touching base on were the things that she really wanted. She wanted the magnolia. She also wants things that provide berries. And, the ilex, you know, the winterberry. I love that in this time of year.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful shrub. And there's even, like, I like to use Red Sprite because it's a little smaller in size.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to remind people, of course, they need their male to pollinate to make sure they get the berries. And that's kind of sometimes not something they want to include, but it is really important, of course.
You know, why is that? Some people don't want to buy, it's like, you know, I want this particular ilex, you know, winterberry or Red Sprite.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, I don't know if I want the male, but they bloom at the same time. And you need, is it Southern Gentleman or Jim Dandy?
Jim Dandy's a great one. And if you don't get that, you're not going to get those berries.
Right.
And everything you're looking for in the female version. So you have to have it, you know, tuck it away somewhere if you just don't want to have that shrub next to the others. It's not going to be full in berries, but I usually can only fit a grouping of three in a landscape design. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of put it in the back part of the triangle. So the other two that are full berries kind of stand out. But yeah, definitely important point. If you want the berries, but you know, have room for a tree, then you can do something like Winter King Hawthorn and have, you know, a beautiful amount of berries and not have to plant something else.
Right, right.
To fertilize it. So, yeah, that is a great point.
No. But, you know, Andrea, that was just a wonderful article, and I just want to draw attention to it. And I always say during the winter months that I'm encouraging people to get out there and purchase magazines and subscribe to some of the magazines. And the Kentucky Gardener, there's a lot of interesting information in that particular magazine. And you did a wonderful job with it, and I just want to draw attention to it. And thank you for joining us this morning. You do a wonderful job. I miss you. I really do. A lot of other people do as well.
I'm still out there. Thank you for calling, and I just love the show, so I'm excited to be part of it.
Well, thank you. We'll try and have you on again sometime down the road. All right. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
You know, I think it was just such a great article that she wrote, and it's in the October 2016 Kentucky Gardener magazine. So if you're really looking for it, it's the October one. But there's also some pictures, illustrations in there that describes what she's talking about.
Absolutely.
That I think will help people who can't just, you know, hear it for themselves. They need to visualize it. The article, you know, has those pictures in it, so it really is detailed to really help people. And one thing she really mentioned that I thought was great, she's planting in threes and, you know,
odd numbers.
And I think that's really important that she had mentioned that sometimes we overlook, you know, it is sometimes it's not always 100% to do it in threes or fives or just in one. But a lot of times it is. And that's what you need.
Yeah, it just makes the appearance is a lot nicer, that's for sure. Well, keep that in thought because we were just talking about beauty in the winter garden. So we're going to take another quick break. If you have a question for Bob and me, give us a call here at 749-B105. We'll be right back. A little cool after this morning if you're just getting up. Far cry from what it was a week ago this time. And my guest this morning and filling in for Ernie is Bob Bard. And we were talking about that earlier in the show, how it's just what a difference a week can make. And I like it when it gets a little cool because it makes doing things outside a lot more comfortable for me anyway.
It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great week. 70 tomorrow and then 60s. And then I think late in the week, a little bit of rain. We had moisture. It's a great time to get out.
We need it. We still need a little bit more moisture as well.
Yep.
And we're going to go to Kyle over in White Oak. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Doing well. How you gentlemen doing?
Doing okay.
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Great. What's your question today?
I've been doing the three-step Fertilume. I did it at my old house, and now I moved to my new house last June. Have been having great success with it at my old house, so definitely was going to continue with my new house. I put down the first step, and then I just put the second step down in September. And I've noticed both times that I put it down, within a couple of days after putting it down, I've gotten dandelions that kind of have popped up. I didn't know if there was a reason behind that or if there's something I'm going wrong.
No, what's happened here, Kyle, is this. You know, if you really look at the first step, the all seasons, if you look on the back of that particular bag, dandelions really are not mentioned on that bag.
Okay.
However, don't let that fool you because you do get protection against dandelions. What's happening is when we put that first step down sometime, you know, mid-March going into the middle part of April, it's most effective, you know, okay. And it's only going to keep things, you know, from a seed standpoint from germinating. Anything that's existing is there. It won't touch it. However, if you look at it from a chronological standpoint, as we progress through the summer months and we get into the fall season, what happens is the barrier that it forms on the top layer of the soil starts to decrease. And sometimes, as a result of that, later in the season, things sneak in. And that's just part of the, you know, that's just the nature of it. And we had a lot of rain back in July. So
right.
The more rain you have, the more you water, you know, it makes that residual element to that all seasons product that has prodiamine in it a little less effective as we get towards the latter part of the year.
Okay.
Then sometimes things will sneak in on you. However, there is an alternative to this. you know, once your lawn is where you want it to be from a health standpoint, its thickness is all there, you can use another pre-emergent product, you know, like Dimension, just to get a little added value of protection. And do that like in August going into September, and that keeps a lot of weed seed from germinating in the fall.
Okay, and I could do that alongside with the three-step program?
Yes, because Dimension is just a weed preventer only. It doesn't have any fertilizer with it.
Okay.
Bob, what do you think on that, too?
How thick is your lawn right now?
I have just under a half an acre.
Is the turf thick? Is it healthy?
My front yard's looking really, really good. My backyard is kind of tore up between the dogs and the kids. But my front yard is really greened up in doing the three-step process. But like I said, I just noticed these dandelions kind of pop up. But it's starting to really look good, which is, you know, that's why I continue to use a three-step because of my old house. My old house was just under a quarter of an acre, and I have my yard looking exactly how I wanted it with the three-step. I did that for probably about 4 years. And I had great success with it, but just had some issues, and I didn't know if it was from the previous owner, if they had done something to their yard, and the Fertilum kind of didn't agree with it. So I was just trying to get a better understanding on these dandelions kind of popping up.
Yeah, I think more likely it's just a coincidence that you fertilized and the weeds grew, maybe some extra rain. You know, this summer we had a lot of weed issues. You're not the only one, where a lot of people came in and they were saying, hey, my pre-emergence didn't work as well as I had hoped. I have a few more weeds this year. And a lot of it had to do with how much moisture we had over the summer. You get all these heavy rains and then the heat. That's a great way for weeds to grow and grow even a little bit faster. So, you know, if it's too bad, you could always do just a little liquid weed killer spray if you wanted to. Do a little weed-free zone and go ahead and just kill those off for this year. But I think as you continue to use the Fertilum and the yard gets thicker, what you're going to find is you're going to eliminate your weeds kind of a little bit more naturally. So I think you're heading in the right direction. Maybe a little patience here in the long run, and I bet by next year you're already seeing big improvements.
Okay, very cool. Very
right.
Cool.
Good luck.
All right, Kyle.
Hey, real quick, I know I called at the beginning of the year when you guys were talking about New Year's resolutions, and I was calling about the saving money we were talking, and I don't know who I heard it from, but doing if you save the amount of days in the year, so if it's the 101st day of the year, you would save $1.01. I didn't know if you guys were doing it. I know, Tony, you were on, but yeah, if you did it at the end of October, you would have $933 so far. So,
okay, I do remember that conversation.
Yes, sir. So yeah, you guys told me to call back and check in with you. So I actually had to ask about the dandelions, and I was just going to throw that out there. So.
Perfect. All right, Kyle. Have a good weekend. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you too. Enjoy the weather.
You too.
Man, that's cool when they call back. I love when the callers, you know, call back and kind of keep us posted, or they put it on Facebook.
That's what the show's all about.
We love it because we want everybody to be a part of it, you know. And I know, just being a guy who fills in every once in a while, I love being a part of the show and being the part of the group. And we've talked about it before with all our Garden Center guys. It's just a big family, and you know, we hope it keeps getting bigger.
I'm with you. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Give us a call here at 749-B105, and our guest should be arriving shortly, and that is Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. If you have any questions or you got a project going on that you want to take care of in the kitchen, now's your chance to give us a yell and talk a little bit about it. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And the day looks like it's looking pretty decent out there. I can see where the little blue in the sky, definitely a little cooler than what it was last week at this time. But, hey, I'll take it, and we're looking at upper 50s today, and then tomorrow a little bit of a warm-up, around 72. Nice football weather right there, if I must say, and the Cleveland Browns are in town, as a matter of fact.
Hooday.
We need a W,
We're going to get a W. The game plan's going to be where it needs to be. They're going to put up some points, and our Bengals are going to come home with a big old win and
beat
the people from the north.
Hope so. How's that? And if you're looking for something to do today, definitely take the little ones, get them all together, and go over to Burger Farm, the big old pumpkin festival, pumpkin patch parties going on over there. Today would be a good day, nice and cool, and tomorrow a little bit of a warm-up, even better. And they have like corn, don't they have like hay rides and all that good stuff. Yeah, so
it's a great time to get out. I mean, get your family, get outside, enjoy Mother Nature, enjoy some of the parks. We have some great parks downtown, out in the suburb. We got some incredible places.
We really do.
And fall is starting to show. The beginning of fall is starting to show. I love the change. Because last week we were talking how everything was still pretty green overall, you know, and in a matter of a week, things have started to change and show color. And, you know, another, we got all this rain and, you know, the cooler temperatures. Fall's coming, so get out and enjoy it all over the tri-state.
It's starting to happen. You're seeing it. You know, speaking of fall, you know, we were talking about the weather we had last week, those thunderstorms and the downpour and all that other good stuff. My gutters get stopped up all the time.
Yeah, you got a lot of woods right by you.
Oh, and, you know, as I looked outside, things were coming over the gutter like Niagara Falls.
Yeah, well, when you're getting 4 inches of rain, somebody had tweeted out on after that storm that there was 4.5 inches of rain in Independence. And I can't confirm that, but that's what he put. He said was in his rain gauge, and I believe the guy 100%. And your gutters, most of the time, if they're clogged up at all, you're not going to handle any of that.
No, it was just raining in sheets. And I was just looking out there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm always at work. Sometimes if I just had a little time, I could get up there and just take care of that stuff on a regular basis.
So have you done it yet?
The next day, first thing I did before I went into work.
Look at you.
I got the old ladder out and cleaned the gutters.
You're not the procrastinator, are you? I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you got out and cleaned it up.
Well, yeah, they were calling for more rain later that day. So the following day, it was like, you know, I can't afford for this to perhaps back up and get underneath the shingles. And
well, and I think a lot of people may have had some issues with that. And it's, you know, why we're talking about everything. We're talking about the landscape, you know, keep the gutters clean. Because right now that's just putting a lot of extra moisture around your foundations, you know, and it's great for the basement companies that are fixing it, you know, because they're going to be busy. But if you can eliminate that issue, just get up there and try to clean your gutters. Yeah, and if you can't do it, get somebody to do it for you.
Get somebody to do it.
It's not worth getting hurt.
No, and be careful. You know, stay within your range there as you're reaching and so forth. But, you know, just it's fall, and I had to bring that up because it's one of the things, it's one of my pet peeves. And I'm often asked, why don't you get the leaf guards? I don't know. I don't know if they really work all that well or not. But keep that in mind. We're going to take another quick break. If you have a question for Bob and me, give us a call here at 749-B105, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And, boy, we've been all over the board. We've covered a lot of ground this morning, Bob. And we have a Facebook question from William Shipley. It says, good morning, Tony and Bob. Wondering if either one of you have had any customers reporting that their winterberry hollies or another good berry-producing shrub, the good old pyracantha, not having any berries yet this year. First time in approximately 12 years that his have not produced any berries. He's got a male counterpart for his berry producing hollies. Was wondering if some of this might be weather related. It could be, but you know, I can say this, the winterberry hollies that we have in the nursery that have been hanging out next to Mr. Jim Dandy, they've buried up.
Already? I know the pyracanthas. Yeah. I've seen a ton of those with a lot of berries. I haven't had anybody bring any questions to us about it. It very easily could be weather related. It's been so hot and so dry that could cause it.
You know what else I think too? A lot of times, you know, the fact that I don't know if it goes by Bill or William, having the male counterpart, you know, we had some hard freeze and frost in different areas, mm-hmm. you know, different pockets throughout the tri-state area there in the middle of May and so forth. You know, it could have had a negative effect on one of either or.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the bloom production, and probably more, obviously, that's what it was.
Right, and that's very possible that that's what caused it.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, really, you know, but, you know, I wouldn't be too alarmed. I mean, Mother Nature just does a few things that are a little crazy. Just sit tight, wait it out. You still may get a few, or you may just have to wait until next year, and hopefully we have a normal May, because Mother's Day, if everybody remembers, was 30-some degrees and heavy frost. It was cold.
That, and also pruning.
Yeah.
If he pruned in the fall,
yeah,
he could have cut some of that out.
Yeah, and that's
so
key. And
that's key as well.
You know, and you know, we want to clean up. We talked about cleaning up some of the landscapes. We do want to be careful not to prune plants that have set their buds for next spring already. Because if you do trim those, you're going to cut off some of the flower for next year. And then you're going to come into the garden center and wonder, why didn't it bloom?
Definitely. So hold that thought in mind. And our guests have arrived. Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. They'll be joining us here in a few moments. Where we'll get them nestled in. And we'll talk some kitchen cabinetry and designs and elements and trends when we come back out of the break. And if you have any questions, if you have a project on hand or something you want to do in the kitchen to spice it up or spruce it up, give us a call at 749-B105.
It's time to Ask a Pro with In and Around the House on B105.
Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And our guests have arrived, and that is Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. And wonderful place up there, Wayne. And I want to say welcome and thank you for joining us. And Heather's with us, right?
Yes, yes. She's
all right.
Today.
All right. We got a full packed house here, Bob. So
hey, this is great. I love it. Bring some other people in. And, you know, just like the intro said, we finally need some experts because, you know, you and I, you know, we're not that great at this, especially when it comes to kitchen stuff. We have, I don't know about you, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. And that's where I go to the experts to get help.
That's why you need these guys. They're definitely the experts. And you just opened up your new store up there in Fort Mitchell. You know, a wonderful place, by the way. And I can't say how beautiful it is enough inside. Tell us a little bit about your new location and what you guys are all about.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me, Tony. It's really great to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today. Yes, we just opened a new store this year at the corner of Orphanage and Dixie Highway in Fort Mitchell over in northern Kentucky. We've been in business for quite a while, and we had just run out of space, so we were able to buy an old bank building in a very notable area of Fort Mitchell, and we invested a lot of time and a lot of really hard work to redo this building, and it has just turned out fabulous. The people have been so great to us, and we're just so fortunate that you know, we get this following. But, you know, the building has just turned out beautiful, and we're just seeing an overwhelmingly great response to it.
Great. You know, tell us a little bit about your business and what you're all about. And, you know, when it comes to projects, especially, you know, in the kitchen, and I know you do a lot of other things as well. I remember the project that Tina and I did a couple of years ago. And I kind of worked on it, a lot of it at my leisure, probably longer than what I really wanted to, because we were living out of the upstairs as a little makeshift, almost like a little dorm, if you want to say, with the old microwave and so forth. But take us through the process of designing a kitchen and all that good stuff that's associated with it.
Well, it can really be a kind of a longer process than most people might think. And everybody says the same thing, and it's funny when it's finished, but it's not funny while it's going on. You know, people do have to eat out a lot, and they live out of a microwave or a refrigerator in their garage, and they wash dishes in their laundry room. And, you know, it really takes a toll on folks a lot of time. But after it's over, they have this new finished product that they just love, and we only hear good things. And then at the end, we're just kind of laughing about it. But this is like my 30th year of doing this, so I've been doing it for a long time, but it never changes. You know, the feeling that the people present to me, like, oh, Ken, can this please be finished soon? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's always the same, but it's different with every family. And
right.
You know, we enjoy the process. When people come to us, you know, a lot of times they'll stop in, or a lot of times they'll be sent by a remodeler or a builder that we know and work with all the time. And we kind of help them, you know, decide which products are best for them, because we have something that works for every budget. You know, no matter what you want to spend, we always have, we have something. You know, no matter where you're working at, bathroom, library, you know, big family room remodel, fireplace, big beautiful kitchen, little small kitchen, little bungalow house, we're happy to have them. And that's what we specialize in, is just we have the products and the resources just to fit any person or any budget. And we're really proud of that.
No, you know, that's really important, too, because a lot of people, I was a little intimidated when I was looking at various things because I had no idea. And I really didn't know where to start with a budget either. I went way over the budget, as a matter of fact. But just along every step of the way, I was running into this, or I was running into that issue. Not that they were bad issues, but they were issues. There are things that, you know, a homeowner really has to take into consideration. Do you want to upgrade to this cabinet, or do you want to stay in this midline range? And I like the fact when you and I were talking about projects that you take all types of projects, no matter how big or how small, And I that's really awesome, because it's an intimidating process. And when you until you get there and you talk to the experts like you guys, it's like, where do you start?
Right, right. We get that a lot. You know, I don't know quite where to start. And I always tell folks, I said, well, you're in the right place, and we're happy to have you. Tell us what you want to do. And some of the things that people get into are, you know, I don't know quite how much to spend, or I don't even know what my budget is. And we'll help them form that. It just it depends on things. And I always get to the things, you know, that what are the most important things that, that I need to think about when I'm redoing a kitchen? Well, the most important thing, number one on my list of five most important things, would be, you know, find a designer, a person like myself or one of the folks that works with us that you're comfortable with, that, that you have a lot in common with, and you feel like that they're going to fit your needs. You know, we have a variety of people that work with us, all kinds of different designers, different ages and backgrounds, and we have something to fit everybody's personality, and we're really proud of that. You know, like I'm not for everybody. I might be a little too straightforward. And we have young people, and a lot of the people that work for our company have degrees in interior design, and some have degrees in architecture. So we can just fit just anyone. But you have to find that designer that you feel comfortable with, and you feel like that they're there to take cue. And I feel like that we have those people that work with us. And then when you meet with that designer, the second most important thing is they have to create a design that works for you. No two designs that we do are ever the same, because every person has just a little bit different needs. So they have to work that design until, you know, they get it just right to fit you. That's why we, you know, we have initial meetings. We come out and we measure your job. We go over the products. We get ideas on paper. And then we kind of work from there. We critique things. And then we just get it, work it to that final project until you're completely happy with it. And then we place the order. And when the order comes in, we're not finished. Then we go over it with installers, and we stay with you through the whole project. So a lot of hand-holding and making the people feel comfortable. Making the design work for you would be the second most important thing, you know, after you find that design person. And then the third thing I always ask people is, you know, when you're figuring out your budgets and things like that, how long are you going to stay in your home? You know, if you're going to be there 5 years or so, you know, we don't want to do, like, the most expensive thing we have. We want to do something that works within your budget, that's not too expensive, that, you know, will help you sell your house. We know that kitchens and baths are the items where you get the best return on your money. That's what we've been told for many years. So when folks do that, you know, we're able to help them. Okay, well, this medium price range cabinetry and some really nice countertops will really help sell your home, and we don't have to go just way overboard on the budget, and you'll get a good return on your money. And then, you know, when the fourth thing that I always have on my list is I always show people in-depthly. I spend a lot of time going over the products because, like I said before, we have something to fit any budget. But, you know, we want to look at the products and see what styling you like. Do you want a shaker style, a farmhouse style? You want a more modern style or a super contemporary style? We have all of these different styles available in collages to show the people what they are and what they represent. So it's a learning process for the folks when they come in. You know, like now the farmhouse style is just off the hook, and the painted finishes are just, you know, they're just everywhere now. And we have grays and whites and darker colors. And that is just, we're seeing, I think it was like over 65% of all the work we're doing right now is painted finishes. So people are in that. So giving the people education on the products, and a lot of times now with the oncoming of Pinterest and all of these things in house, people come in there. We love it because the people come in with a whole stack of stuff that they're interested in. We help them go through it, and we take them to the products that we have that fit right what they want. We walk through our showroom with them, and they're like, I like this. I like this. I don't care for this. And we're able to narrow it down. And then the fifth thing, and then one of the most important things I talk to people is, you know, it's got to function for you. And it's got to function for your family. This goes back to the design and the designer. But the important thing is people will come in and they go, well, on Thanksgiving, I have 20 people at my house. But, you know, the rest of the year, it's just, you know, me, my husband, and we have one child and a dog. And a lot of times, you know, we have to say, okay, well, we'll think about those holidays, but we need to design it to work for your everyday life. And I always tell people not to get too caught up in the once or twice a year entertaining. Now, we'll do some jobs for some folks, and it's a lot more than you would think, where they do entertain every week or every other week. So we really have to put a lot of emphasis on secondary things like serving areas and wet bars and places where you can spread out big food, you know, for buffets and things like that. So the function of the kitchen that works for the people that use kitchen in their everyday life is most important, and then secondary if they entertain and things like that. So we have to really think about those things when working with them. So those are the top five things to really think
about. I think that wet bar is one of my top five, that's for sure.
Mentioned the food bar. I know that one goes
bar,
right.
Absolutely. Wayne, give us a little bit of information, your website, your Facebook information, and a telephone number.
Sure. Our website, and we have some nice photographs and things of recent jobs and testimonials and a little bit about us. It's W Stephens, W-S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, so wstephens.com. Our phone number is 859-331-8100. And then we have a Facebook page. It's W. Stevens Cabinetry, and we're located in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky. And people, we usually suggest just to call and set up an appointment time so that we can spend time just with you.
I know I've been there twice, and when I was when I stopped up there yesterday, it's like, oh, you know, I didn't notice that. You know, that's really neat. And you almost have to go through a couple of times and just get some ideas.
Right.
And you did a wonderful job with your new facility. I liked how you turned that old bank into something, you know, functional with all the interesting cabinetry designs that you have. And that old safe door, Bob, you got to check it out on the Facebook page or their website. That is really cool. Yep. That had to be fun working with.
Yeah, we're really proud of that display. And it just, it worked out so great. And all of those rooms, we kind of kept the beauty of the old building and the historical value to the city of Fort Mitchell. Mm-hmm. It actually started in 1940 as a movie theater. And there are some really, there are some really neat stories about that building. So we kept a lot of those things intact.
Yeah.
And then we made it function for a modern day cabinet showroom. So, and people come there and, I mean, it was a labor of love for me, but I am just overwhelmed at the response people give to that thing, and I, you know, kind of proud of it. So we love taking people through it. So people are welcome to stop by, just check it out. They do all the time. They just stop by and go, I really want to see this.
Awesome. No, I mean, you did a wonderful job. Every time I would drive past your new facility, I would see, you know, you progress just a little more, just a little more. Then they were putting up all the stone on the outside. You added a wonderful touch to the city there. There's no doubt about it. And I always wondered, will something ever come about that old bank building up there? Wasn't it Suburban Federal? Was that the name of the bank that was there? I can't remember. Or yes. Columbia?
Yes. In 1950, Columbia Federal Savings and Loan took that building, and they kept it until about 4 years ago. And then Huntington Bank bought them out, and then they had a bank across the street. So that's why they sold it.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're with Wayne Stephens from W. Stephens Cabinetry and Design. We're talking about, you know, getting things together with a new kitchen, or if you're renovating an existing kitchen, or if it's new home construction. This is a place that you definitely have to check out. When we come back from out of the break, we're going to talk about some of the trends. We're going to talk a little bit about countertops and hardware. Give us a call at 749-B105. The house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys, and our special guest this morning is Wayne Stephens. He's the owner of the new kitchen and cabinetry design store called W. Stephens Cabinetry and Design up in Fort Mitchell, and a wonderful place. You need to stop by there, especially if you have a kitchen project that you're thinking about doing. And before we went into the break, we were just discussing some of the things that they do, and I wanted to get honing in on some trends, because you know, there's a lot of different things going on in with kitchen designs. And I, for one, when Tina and I were working on our kitchen, we stayed with the white theme. And I know that there's a lot of painted themes or colors that you were just talking about. What's going on? What are people leaning towards?
Well, right now, we see some trends that are emerging that are really, really interesting. We get reports from our manufacturers on what percentage of products we were doing, and we're like 65% painted finishes right now. Mm-hmm. Painted finishes are so hot. We used to do a lot of paint with glaze on it, or we'd do wood with glaze. Now we're seeing just a strong presence of folks will do kitchens in two tones. You know, the perimeter area of the kitchen along the walls will be a white or an off-white or maybe a light gray. The grays are just off the hook right now.
Right.
And then in the island areas or secondary areas, we'll see a darker color. We'll see a stone finish, which is kind of like a gray but stained, so you can see a lot of the wood grain in it.
Mm-hmm.
More rustic look, more furniture appeal in an island or something like that. And then if we don't do a stone, we'll see a dark cherry or something, just as a strong, rich accent playing off of the beauty of the painted finish, the smooth
right.
painted finish on a more simple door we see a lot of times. And that's really just given a strong contrast. And in more uniform countertops, seeing a trend toward lighter countertops with the lighter cabinetry to create a more free feeling, you know, happy area, and then dark just kind of on the island area.
You know, speaking of countertops, there's a number of different types of countertops that you can choose from or select from. And boy, going back to the old days when it was like the old laminate, you know, you couldn't tear a laminate counter up hardly. It took a while. And yep. then, you know, all of a sudden, Corian was the thing. Now, granite, Cambria. Take us into that world or that way of thinking. What do we need to pay attention to when it comes to countertops? Because that's not a cheap venture.
No, it isn't. And wow, have they changed. You are so right. 30 years ago, when I started doing this kind of work, I just kind of told how old I am. You know, it was laminate. And then it was Corian, like you just mm-hmm. said. And we did so much Corian. And now those things we do very rare. Now it's the stone tops. But with the new technology, with CNC water jets, it's how we cut everything in laser templating technology, we can fit, you know, a stone countertop, you know, in a circle. We can make it any kind of shape and it mm-hmm. fits. We can cut it around rock, which in our showroom, there's a great display of that. Our countertop business it's one of the biggest growing areas that we have. And the big thing about this right now is that, you know, we're seeing quartz and granite. We're doing probably about 60% granite and 40% quartz. And the differences in those products are they're not that much. Granite, you see such beautiful movement, and no two stones are alike. You have to go over to our stone yard mm-hmm. and you have to pick the slab, and it's a fun trip. You go over and you pick the rock that you want. There's no other rock in the world like it that you want to put in your house.
I like it. Rock.
It's just a big rock. You're picking a rock, and they come. They're a little over 9 feet long and a little over 5 feet wide, and you just pick the rocks that you mm-hmm. want, and we cut them and make them fit in your home. And then, you know, it's that motion that people want. And then you have the quartz countertops. Now, quartz is a great product, so super strong, and then it's particulated, so it is ground up and re-poured, so it's all uniform and all the pieces look virtually the same, and it's still a stone finish, and the finish is just a little bit duller than the granite top. Some people like that more smooth, dull finish than that real shiny finish of granite. Both are incredibly durable. Our granite tops have what or it's called Everseal on them, so you don't have to seal them all the time mm-hmm. like the old granite. So they're both very, very durable. I would say quartz is just a little bit more durable. Quartz is probably, you know, a hair more expensive than the, you know, baseline granites. And then you have the more fancy the granite, the more expensive it can get. And then we have a countertop called Cambria. Cambria is a well-marketed product made in the United States. And it is our most expensive countertop, but it is one of our more attractive countertops that we have. But we our claim to fame on that is we just have something for everybody. And we can take a countertops, you know, from start to finish. We can have them, the old ones taken out, the new ones installed, mm-hmm. completely finished job for you. You know, one-stop shop when it comes to tops. And we have so much to offer. And a lot of folks come in to see us. We probably get two or three a week where they're just replacing their countertops. And it's a way to give your kitchen a quick and doesn't, you know, put you out of your kitchen more than just a couple of days. And you get a really great new look for not spending much money or
right.
not a lot yeah. of out of your time.
Now, is any one of these better than the other? Like you were talking about strength and durability. Can you put a hot pot on one and not the other? Are there things you need to worry about? Do you need to what's the maintenance like for some of these various
yes.
tops?
Yes, like if you remember the old laminate and the Corian, if you put something hot on them, they would blister and defect, and you couldn't really fix them. And in the Corian, you could fix it, but you had to basically cut the top out and put a new piece in. It was a big process. Now, quartz and granite, you can take a boiling pot and set it right on either of those. If you take a broiler out of your oven at like 450 degrees, that's probably a little too hot. It won't hurt the product, but it can kind of mess up the finish. So we always recommend if you've taken something out of your oven, you know, set it on a trivet or a hot pot. But I know a lot of times, even at my own home, it does, that happens, and it's never hurt it. But we always recommend that you don't do that just to be safe, because those products can be expensive, and they are an investment. So you don't want to take a chance on messing up your rock that's in your house, because, you know, if you tear your rock up, it's hard to fix.
Right.
So with that in mind, we always recommend that they don't do that. As far as maintenance on quartz, there is zero maintenance. You just can't really hurt it or tear it up. On granite, the new products that we have, they have Everseal on them. You don't have to do anything on them. But then I always tell people, I said, you know, just to be safe, maybe in 5 or 6 years, you know, spray on a little sealer around your sink and cooking area and wipe it off. And it only takes about 15 minutes. And the big thing with us is I've been in business for so long. I've been doing this work. People come back to me every week that I worked for 20 years ago, and they may need a hinge or a door or something like that. So they know me. People stop me in restaurants and everything and need this little part or that little part. So they're going to come back looking for me personally if something doesn't go just right. So that's why I always try to tell people everything I know, like, you know, even though you're not supposed to seal it, maybe in 5 or 6 years, put a little sealer on anyway. And that just, you know, helps that product last longer and keeps them from coming and making me do more work.
Now, see, I just did a kitchen a couple years ago, and you're making me want to do it again.
Exactly.
I mean, you're drawing me in.
Yeah. Right.
You really are. That's awesome. You know, something else I want to ask you, I noticed, are we seeing a lot of the farm sinks?
Yes.
Do you think that's just a fad? Is it a trend? I mean, will it be here for a while? What do you think?
Well, it kind of goes along the same way was when white painted kitchens came out. We had the thermofoil, the plastic, and that kind of went away. And then we had the white paint, and that everybody thought that was just a trend. Well, it's been around for 20 years, and it is stronger than ever. The farm sinks, that is a great look. And, you know, you can get them in stainless steel. You can get them in hammered copper. You can get them in fire clay. And they're just beautiful. And it's just an incredible look. I personally love that look. We have them in our showroom.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that is a fad that's going to go away. I think it's a design trend, just like different styles of architecture.
Right.
And if you love it, it's going to be great, you know, 20 years from now. And if you don't like it, we can do a regular sink. But we see that. And we tell people all the time, you know, we're working for you. We're not working for us. Whatever you want to do, as long as we can engineeringly wise make it work, we'll do whatever you want. We do tell folks all the time, you know, we want, when people come into your house after we do your job, we want it to look like that this has been in the kitchen since the home was built.
Right.
You just took really, really good care of it, and it just happens to be in perfect style.
I love it. You know, there's just so much to choose from and think about when you're into the whole process of remodeling your kitchen or new home construction. And for a homeowner, you know, it can be a little complicated. And you know what? You've already relaxed me thinking about, I mean, you like what you do. It's obvious.
I love it.
And very knowledgeable. And I'm kind of like, boy, I wish I didn't try to tackle that all alone. Where I had gone to somebody like you and said, hey, help me out here a little bit. But you know, something else that I wanted to ask you about real quick is the hood range. That was an area that I had struggled because my wife was trying to get one that was shorter versus the right height, and I know what she was trying to do. Had to get a second one just so I could get it out and vent it.
Right, right. The hood application or the coping application in many designs, that is the architectural feature that defines the kitchen. A lot of times, you know, people come in and they want to do lots and lots of different things, and it costs a lot. And sometimes you can get the most bang for your buck if you put that one just drop dead gorgeous piece, you know, and you make that the cooking application with your cooktop and your stove and your hood. And years ago, a friend of mine called it a cooking theater, and I laughed about that because people really do that. And, you know, you can get a beautiful tile backsplash, and you can get a wood hood, you can get a metal hood, but that can truly be the focal point. And when it comes to ventilation is an important thing. You want to always make sure that you have enough, you know, drawing power from the ventilator, enough CFMs per minute based on how many BTUs that your cooktop puts out. An important thing is you have to get it at the right height. You have to try to keep that the draw 30 inches off the cooktop if you can.
Right.
And then one real important thing is a lot of times when you hear a hood running and it's loud, okay, and the hoods can be expensive, and, you know, if you get like a Venta hood, you know, they're very expensive, but those are just a Cadillac of hoods, and we do a fair amount of those. I always tell folks, you know, you can spend anything you want, but a ventilator is important. And we tell, we want to take that vent pipe, like Tony was just mentioning, you know, you had to put extra elbows and everything. Every time you put in an elbow, you cut down your drawing power. One thing you want to do is the noise you hear from a hood a lot of times is not the motor from the hood, it's the back pressure. So if you vent that hood up as far as you can before you put the first elbow in, you will reduce the noise incredibly. But that look of that hood, that is something we work on all the time just to give
it's a focal point. There's no doubt about it. Well, hold on to that thought. And when we come back out of the break, we're going to go and talk with Tess up in Hillsboro. Has a question about countertops. Okay. And if you have any other questions, feel free to give us a call. We have Wayne Stevens with us here this morning from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. And if you have a question, give us a call, 749-B105. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And our special guest this morning is Wayne Stevens from W. Stevens Cabinetry and Design. He is the owner, proprietor of that particular new kitchen store up in Fort Mitchell. And we're talking about kitchen designs and so forth. And we also have a caller for you, Wayne, Tess from Hillsboro. Good morning, Tess.
Well, good morning.
How are you today?
Well, okay.
Good.
I was about 10 years ago, it's been a while, we were looking to redo our kitchen, and one of the counter is L-shaped, and on the end of the L is rounded, and nobody could do that. I couldn't find anybody who could replace it with the same curvature. Can these guys do that?
Absolutely, we can do that. What type of countertop are you thinking about? Laminate, Corian solid surface, or stone?
Well, the stone. I was thinking of the quartz, actually.
Oh, that's easy. Easy to do. And we have samples of that and actually several rounded countertops in our showroom. With our new digital templating technology, we use everything is with lasers, and we cut it with CNC mills. So we can cut a half circle in a stone quartz granite countertop, no problem at all.
Can you give me a phone number again so I can follow up a little later on in the day?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Our phone number at our office is 859-331-8100. And I always suggest call, make an appointment with someone. Whoever answers can help you. Just come down and see us, and we'll show you how you can do that.
Okay, we'll do
Tess,
that.
Tess, it would be a nice little day trip for you, a little afternoon. Stop down there, really worth seeing. Beautiful place. And, you know, something else I wanted to touch base on real quick, too. I know time's starting to just run out. You know, the kitchen cabinets themselves and the drawers and the glides, what should homeowners think about, know about when it comes to that?
Well, there's a lot of things available. Most of our products are standard offering that we point people towards. We always like to do the drawers and the cabinets that are all wood dovetail construction. The glides are full extension, which means they come out, you get complete access to the drawer. And we do undermount glides. Most of them are made by the Bloom Company, and they're self-closing and they're heavy duty, and they hold about 110 pounds of weight, which is a lot in a single drawer. They have a lifetime warranty, and that's the most important thing, is that lifetime warranty. And all the products that we offer have that warranty.
That's good. That's how much Ernie's forks and knives weigh. Right. Just kidding.
So, and then another really important thing is, you know, we didn't even touch on, but what's inside the cabinets? You know, now we put in self-closing built-in garbage cans, recycling centers, roll-out trays, internal drawers, all kinds of really neat products that help with storage and organization. Today, people have a lot of stuff in the kitchen, but how it's organized, you can put twice as much stuff in a kitchen now as you could 10 years ago, because technology has brought us all these fascinating products, and they're usually made out of chrome and steel. So we have endless books and products that we can offer folks
right.
based on what they want. And then our cabinets in our showroom, we have like 37 displays, and each display is just filled with different kind of things that a person would want.
What are some of the, you know, when I'm looking at kitchen cabinetry, I don't always necessarily want the top kitchen cabinet that I can get or the lowest. What is a good middle of the run that gives you the best bang for your money?
Right. The lines that we do the most in, we do have our custom line called Wood Mode. A lot of people know that product. It's a fantastic product. But the Wood Mode also makes a line that's a little less expensive called Brookhaven.
Mm-hmm.
Has all those internal components, Bloom Motion Glides, you know, all the drawers, everything I've been talking about. It's a very nice product and has a hand rub furniture finish. And then a line that we do most of the time is called Cook, and that's K-O-C-H. They're made in Seneca, Kansas. All of our products are American-made, by the way. Very
good.
Important to us. And the thing with the Cook line, it's the best value for your dollar in our place. Now, we have Marilat and Kitchen Compact lines less than that, so we can fit any budget. But the Cook line is, it's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 7.5. It's the upper middle of the road. It's what we do 70% of the time, mm-hmm. probably, if I'm just guessing. And it is the best value for the dollar. Offer all the products we've talked about today can be put in there, the glazed finishes, the painted finishes, the stone colors. But that line, when you come in and you look at that, it looks fantastic, and it helps keep your price reasonable. Our prices, we do hear all the time, because people, it is a competitive market. People do shop around. They go to the big box stores mm-hmm. and things like that, and they come back and they tell us, they said, you know, for what we got, your price is very fair. They, you know, the other place didn't have this included or that included, or they didn't come out to my house and inspect everything or help us through. They just wanted to sell us the product and take our money and be finished with us and finish their shift. All of our designers are educated designers, and they all have a background in this, and they're, you know, they know what they're doing, and I'm really proud of that. And the big thing with us is for value for your dollar, and our price for what you get, our service, I believe that is just, there's no competition anywhere that provides the service and the pricing we do at the level we offer.
Got it. I have one thing that you definitely have to help me with.
Okay.
And my wife will love this. Kitchen cabinetry under the cabinet lighting.
Oh, yes.
Take me into that world.
Yes.
What can I expect to pick up, or what do I want to look for?
Right. On most cabinetry, when we design it in, we do put on what's called a light rail or a light baffle, which like is a little reverse crown, just a small piece of molding under the cabinet to help hide that lighting when you put it in. There is a crevice under the cabinet, and we had a little piece of molding just to give it a little decorative flair and hide that. The most popular lighting right now is called Xenon. The Xenon lighting is, it's 110, it can work with a switch, and it works as a great mood lighting. I know at my personal house at night when you're watching TV and you walk through the kitchen or you walk in to get a drink, the only light that's on in that room is that under cabinet Xenon lighting, and it's just a perfect mood light. Plus, if you're working on dinner, you have all your lights on, those lights have a high and low side, and they add a great highlight so that you can see what you're doing and get some work done. So that's what I would recommend.
I think, lighting, we talk about landscape lighting,
mm-hmm.
even more important in the kitchen, too. I agree with you.
Yes.
And it just sets that tone, that mode, that feeling. So you can dim those, correct?
Yes. Yeah, they have a high and a low side, and most time they're on low unless you're working in that area. That's where you're chopping. You know, you can put them on high. They work off of a switch. And lighting is everything in a kitchen, and we mm-hmm. always tell folks, if you go into the older houses, you know, you'll see a couple can lights and a light in the center, and then now, you know, the kitchens are just filled with light. So I always joke around and I tell everybody, I always say, hey, you know, put in what you think, and you're probably going to want to double it by the time we're finished, but it'll be well worth it.
Light it up. All right. I don't know where the morning has gone, Bob, but it's flown by.
It goes fast.
I know. And Wayne, such a pleasure having you in this morning. Give us your contact information again.
Okay, great. I really appreciate you having me in. It's a really big deal. I've known Tony for a long time, and it's been great to be on the show with him today.
Thank you.
Our contact information, our phone number is 859-331-8100. Our website is wstevens.com. There's a lot of really neat stuff to see there. We do have a Facebook page. So I would recommend anyone to check that out. Our website has a lot of photographs of recent jobs and testimonials from customers. So please feel free to give us a call or stop in.
Definitely stop in, and even better, when you stop in and see Wayne at W. Stevens Kitchen, Cabinetry, and Design, just walk right across the street and hang out at Greyhound Grill for a little bit. That's going to conclude our morning this today. I don't know where the time went, Bob, like I said. Thanks for co-hosting. Really appreciate it.
Had a great time.
And we'll see you next Saturday.